The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Maxbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday media here at Gillette Stadium. I've been busy all morning, so I have no idea how many media are here or what's going on in the locker room. But as soon as Andy and Paul get their asses down here, they'll let us know in detail what's going on in the Patriots locker room. What's the theme of the week? Because it always seems like, you know, there's some type of theme that's going on here at Gillette Stadium. So we'll see what that's all about. Getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. This is going to be a tough game. It is. Not, of course, because of Seattle's offense. As Paul says, you know, they score 16 points and try to figure out a way to win with that. But they've got a defense that can be disruptive. I think, what did they sack Aaron Rodgers like 8 times in the first half of their game? You know, so they have guys that can get after the quarterback. They have guys that are fast, that swarm to the ball. You know, so that could give the Patriots trouble. Even with this fast up-tempo offense, I mean, there's no way that the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll aren't going to be looking at what the Patriots did last week and say, okay, if they do it to us, what do we do? I think with their guys that are on the field, they might be actually a little faster than Denver's defense, and they might be able to control that a little bit better. So it's, once again, another chess match. The Patriots offense versus the Seattle defense. That's what it all comes down to, because I have no doubt that the Patriots defense is going to handle the Seattle's offense. That isn't even a question in my mind. Marshawn Lynch is a good running back, but we've seen him before. Let him run it. We'll stack up. We'll stop him, and we'll dare Russell Wilson to throw the ball, and we'll see what happens there. You know, that's a gamble that I'm willing to take. So webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Me too, Freddie.
Paul, are you willing to take that gamble?
Yep.
Let Russell Wilson throw the ball?
Absolutely. He can throw it as often as he wants.
That's right.
You know, Seattle doesn't want him to throw the ball more than 25 times, probably at the most. So, yeah, absolutely. You got to do everything you can to stop Marshawn Lynch and make him beat you.
Right. So base defense coming out for the Patriots, and they might just stay that way all day. So what's going on in the locker room?
Interesting. There was some early activity and some late activity. Talked to Rob Ninkovich a little bit. He'll be our Comcast interview this week. Talked about sort of getting back to his style. He felt he was just disappointed with himself early in the season, the first couple of games.
Really?
Disappointed with his play, felt like he hadn't quite gotten past the outside linebacker part of his job. So felt a little bit more comfortable.
And what was his turning point? Did he say like what?
No, he didn't say specifically what happened. He felt a little bit more comfortable, and he got back to doing some of the things. And now obviously you make plays, and that helps things. And then we talked a little bit about Seattle as well. Later, very late in the locker room period. Stephen Ridley came in very brief. It was like two or three questions. By the time he got in, it was time to go. I was way in the back. I was reaching as far as I could. I couldn't really even hear the questions and answers, so I couldn't even tell you exactly what the tenor of that interview was, but it was very brief. It couldn't have been more than a minute. In between, Aaron Hernandez made another appearance, didn't want to talk. Not rudely or anything like that, but, you know, that playful kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. Still looks, you know, looking pretty good. I don't know. I don't have any facts to base it on. I still think he's probably a week away.
Well, if you were the Patriots and you know you don't have to score a ton of points this week, you know,
to me it would be all about his health.
Well, but
he wouldn't be back unless he's 100%.
Well,
regardless of opponent.
Wouldn't this be a good week to say, give him a little extra rest?
Yeah, because of the trip, though, to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily want him on a plane for 10 hours, you know, to go out there and back. And, you know, listen, if he's 100% and there's no issues there, by all means, play him. I don't think that will be the case. I think he's probably still, you know, 50-50 at best. I don't think he was questionable last week. I know that's what he was listed at. I didn't think there was any chance that he could play last week. This week, there might be a chance.
I mean, if Gronk's hip had flared up, maybe he could have. I don't know.
Last week?
Like, if Gronk couldn't play.
Yeah, I don't think there was any way he could have played last week.
Okay.
That's just my, again, not based on any facts, just my opinion. I think that he's still a little bit away. But anyway, it was good to see him in the locker room again. And, you know, other than that, I don't know what Tom talked about today. I would imagine he was asked some questions about the hurry up that Greg Bedard, we talked a lot about the piece that he wrote yesterday, very in-depth analytical piece.
Big week for Greg Bedard.
Yeah,
he's getting a lot of press.
Well, he's got a lot of press out of it, and he deserves it because he did a nice job on that story, and Andy talked about it yesterday. He it was well thought and, you know, good analytical piece.
Even Ron Borges from the Herald gave a Globe guy.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that shows you the difference. It would never happen the other way around.
No. But I remember when Borges was with the Globe, he would
do it because he's just a contrarian.
Right.
He doesn't care.
Andy's here. Hey, Andy. Either of you guys
hey,
go to
Fred.
Belichick?
No.
Belichick is not gone yet.
Oh,
it's
he
like 12:40, I believe.
12:40 is Bill?
Something like that.
Okay, so Eric will do that.
Correct.
Indeed.
And then he'll be back with a report.
Yes, he'll be by later. Did a long interview, Fred, today with Zoltan Mesko.
Yeah.
For next week's PFW TV, sort of a most interesting man in the NFL interview about his various, you know, quirks. And
we can't run it till next week because I don't think it finished until next week.
I don't know if I can say it on the air. Forget it.
What?
I don't think he'll mind. I said, I go up and I go, sorry, I didn't know that was going to be that long. And he goes, that's what she said.
Oh.
So, but no, he was good and I figured they can edit. So I'll do all the questions because they were worried it'd be too short. Because it was, like I said, quirky, and you never know when Patriots are going to say
one-word
answers. So Vin, our producer, was like, make sure you have a good number of questions ready. So I had them ready. I might as well go through them, and we'll take the best five for TV or six for TV. And
so it was funny?
Yeah, he was good. You know, we joked a little bit because one of the things that came up, and he kind of told about an interesting story with him and Mayo, but his dad was a pro bowler in Romania. Small pea, small.
They have bowling in Romania.
Yes, nine pin something something bowler.
Yeah.
And he once was talking to Gerard Mayo and said, yeah, my dad was a pro bowler. And Mayo goes, oh, that's why you're so good. And Zoltan's like, no. He bowled. Had nothing to do with football. Wasn't a pro bowler like you and I think of a pro bowler. So it was funny. And he had a few other, because he's really cerebral. You know, I mean, it's weird. He can give you a that's what she said joke or, you know, he could tell you about the economy of Romania or something. He's kind of all very diverse interests. So,
well, that's cool.
He was good.
So we have sandwiches being brought in by Kevin Collins.
Let me get some sandwiches.
Any pizza? No pizza.
Is this going to be permanent? Because I can stop bringing my lunch if they're going to have sandwiches.
Well, it was only twice so far that we had sandwiches.
That's a trend. Trending.
Well, it wasn't last week. We had pizza
last
week. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just like a couple of random times.
So I have to avoid the diarrhea and keep bringing lunch.
I've had real trouble yesterday, all day yesterday.
Me too.
Yeah. Huh.
Wonder if we had like a little something, a little bug or something.
I think it's from Sunday's food in the press box.
Not for me.
No? You didn't have
I didn't have any, and you guys
No,
did.
No, but the way my system works, Sunday's food is long gone by Tuesday.
All right. No, I had a terrible time yesterday.
Oh, is that why you went home early?
No.
No.
I had to feed the dog. No one was home. So,
yeah, where was everybody? It's unlike your
visiting
house.
Bridgeton Academy.
Oh.
Where the hell's that?
Maine.
Oh, is that a prep a year?
It's a prep school, yeah.
For little PG?
Yeah. So
you really are rich.
Yeah. So we'll see about that.
No, I agree, yeah.
If you're going to spend $40,000 on a year that really doesn't count for anything, you're rich.
Well, I wouldn't be spending that. There's no way on this God's green earth that I would be spending that or could spend that. So we'll see.
God forbid I might have to turn the Lexus in and just get a Range Rover.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Any themes that you detected while in the locker room?
Not really. Not that I saw, you know.
I don't know. I used all 45 minutes talking. It was a long time ago.
We talked about, Fred and I, about with Ninkovich, about Seattle and the running game and Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, I think, well, you never want to just say, well, that's all they do is run the ball. I mean, obviously, that's not what the Patriots can't go into the game and just say, well, you know, we just have to gear up and stop the run. But
it is all you have to do.
It's about as close as I've really can remember it. You know, the players talking specifically about, listen, he's a load. He's tough to tackle. We got to make sure we get bodies around the football, and we can't leave it to one guy. I mean, that's what they're talking about. And I asked Ninkovich some questions about Wilson in terms of keeping him in the pocket. You know, he's an athletic guy. He likes to get outside and throw on the run. They made a big deal of he finally – this is the first game last week. He actually had a decent game last week. It was a little up and down because he was 19 of 25, I believe, so that's a very good percentage, but he did have two picks. Without seeing them, you know, obviously he made some mistakes there, you know.
So he completed 21 of 25 throws, huh?
Right. Well, it's kind of like the Tony Romo game. You know, he had five picks. He only had like three incompletions.
Right.
Other than the picks, obviously. But just keeping Wilson in the pocket, and they made a big deal that he completed more passes from the pocket last week than he had in the previous four games combined. So, you know, he's a young guy.
Better.
He's going to get better.
Right.
By all accounts, he's one of those ridiculous leaders. And
it.
He's got the it factor and all that stuff. I just don't know if he has enough talent.
Any chance, because I heard Pete talking this morning, and they were talking about the health of Matt Flynn and that he kind of had an elbow issue that came in the middle of training camp, and that's sort of when Wilson took off and kind of took the job, and they had to monitor Flynn. He said Flynn is now healthy, but he's not getting all the reps, so you don't really know, could he handle all the reps? But is this a week where if you're a coach, and Pete made it sound like this would be a great accomplishment if we can beat the Patriots, you pull something out and Flynn comes in, you feel like you need to add to the passing game a little bit, so you have either packages with Flynn or get a short leash or something Flynn-related?
See, I wouldn't do that. I just because of that whole thing of, you know, you have one quarterback, and that's your quarterback, and you make a decision that that's your guy, and you stick with him. You know,
but you don't think you can sell a guy like Russell Wilson, first of all, who's team first, has it, isn't going to be a diva prima donna. You can't sell him on, you're our quarterback of the future, but even you know right now, you're not ready to win a shootout with Matt Flynn. And Matt Flynn has been in shootouts with Tom Brady before. He's been in this type of an environment. He can throw the ball a little bit better down the field right now. I think you could sell him on it and not lose Russell Wilson, quote-unquote.
I'm in between you. I would definitely – Wilson would be my guy. But if the game unfolds the way I think Andy and I think it will and you fall behind
– then you put
him in. I think you can do it without losing Wilson, saying all the things that Andy just said to Wilson. Listen, you're still our guy, but you know we fall behind. This offense is too much. The way that we're equipped right now – you're not ready to rally us from 17 down in the second half. You know, something like that. Now, listen, I don't think Matt Flynn's going to do that either. But, you know, obviously you have a chance to throw the ball with Matt Flynn. And the other thing that we don't know, Freddie, and I found this interesting this morning listening to Pete because I hadn't read any of that about the injury and to that extent at all. That was news to me this morning. I don't know how you felt, Andy. But the whole one quarterback thing, you pick your quarterback. Well, maybe they didn't really pick the quarterback.
Right.
Maybe Wilson sort
case,
of won it by default.
That could be.
Because we didn't know that Matt Flynn wasn't physically ready.
That definitely did not come out at
no,
the time.
No, if they came out that Wilson outplayed him and this is the guy.
Right.
Now, maybe that – so there might be some truth to both of those things.
Or maybe they're couching it so that
– it doesn't look like such a bad free agent
signing
and all that stuff.
Right, I don't know. All right.
Because I'm with Paul. I don't see any way – I mean, I joked with you. Pete's going to have to find a way to win this game scoring 14 or 17 points. because that's what they do. And I just don't see the Patriots scoring that few with Tom Brady on the field. Right. Their defense is good, but this offense, you know, even, you know, what we're talking about is this offense more, you know, playoff equipped or more balanced. Yeah, it is. And to me, that makes it even less likely that a good defense, you know, that 07 team, I could have maybe seen a defense like this comes in, sacks Brady nine times like they did to Aaron Rodgers. You know, they're up, they're physical with the receivers, they're knocking Moss around a little bit. And wow, they shut down the passing attack. They kept, but now you have a running game that you theoretically can turn to.
But couldn't you see them limiting the Patriots to like 19 points? I could see that.
Yeah, and I think they win.
Right, no.
Because I don't see them scoring more than
right.
that.
But I can
see. I can't see that barring turnovers.
You can't see Seattle's defense giving the Patriots trouble?
No, but turnovers is part of it. I mean, no. When you have a swarming defense like that, turnovers would be part of it.
Yeah, no, but
when
like,
a defense is as good and as fast and as young as they are, that's clearly part of how they're going to get to that.
Right. I can see them giving us trouble. At least,
I can too, but not enough. But not enough.
Especially, you know, early in the game before we do that adjustment.
Do you think that Seahawks could win this game with 16 points?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I believe they haven't scored more than 16.
I think the Seahawks are going to have to score 20 points to have a chance.
I think that's hard to do. We've played pretty well against the run, and as Paul says, you're going to take the run away and say, Russell Wilson, can you beat me? And I just find it hard to believe that I don't fear their receivers. I don't fear Russell Wilson. I mean, I guess the tight end could have a huge day.
If you're taking my turnovers away, then no, I don't see the play. I don't think Seattle was capable of scoring 20. And I don't think the Patriots are capable of scoring less than 20.
I guess if you get a big kick return.
Now, they had 27 against Dallas when they had all those. I think they had, I know they had a block punt for a touchdown. And I think that's the same game that Leon Washington had an 83-yard kick return and a 52-yard punt return.
Right.
I think it was all in the same game.
If that happens, okay. Right. Now it's.
But I think this is a game where we do what you said, Andy, where you really move around Chandler Jones from side to side. I could see him having at least two batted down balls. And if Wilfork and Love keep Russell Wilson from stepping up, he could have a field day coming from different directions. I really think so.
Well, I think he could have a field day in. I think guys like Wilson, if they get any pressure up the middle from guys like Love, their first instinct is to beat it.
To bail out.
And if they beat it right into Chandler Jones' rush or Rob Ninkovich's rush.
And if I have him coming from one side, one snap from this side, another snap from the other side, I think this is where your thing really comes into play.
And it seems, I mean, they did it a little bit last week. A ton of snaps.
Yeah, he started on the left
right,
side.
But yeah. I mean, my brain tells me it was only.
Kind of went back to normal after.
Yeah.
Not too
but
long.
It's something they have to make people think a little, you know, what's right. going on. But I get back to, I don't see it happen. I mean, barring Paul's game where you get a blocked punt, a kick return, a punt return, an interception return.
I don't think there's any, if this is a game that if there's no like real negative play, no turnover plays, and Seattle ends up with 20 points. This is a head scratcher for your defense. This is an offense that's that limited.
All right. Food's here. Let us ingest some of it, and then we'll see what you have to say about this game coming up.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got too naked.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I think we're all decided that truck up another Patriots win on Sunday.
Hell yeah. And if not, rut row.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like you, Fred. I can see the, you know, you're kind of leery of that Seattle defense.
I am.
And I can see the reasons.
You should be.
Let's put it this way. If Seattle wins the game, I think we can all see a way that could happen. You know, they could bog the Patriots down a little bit, getting into a low-scoring, mucky game, and all of a sudden you get Marshawn Lynch and maybe you get him going and you have one of those, you know, 8-minute drives, you know, wow.
You know how, like, the last couple of years they've called it, like, you know, the Arab Awakening or the Arab Spring, like all the.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is the NFC West Spring.
Well, it's the only division in football that all the teams are. Did I check this after this week? We're above 500. And I was like, wow, who would have picked that to start
and,
the year?
And playing.
Everybody's high on the NFC West except Paul.
Playing particularly good defense.
There's a shock. Everybody's high on the NFC West except Paul.
Right, because
I just think there's three bad teams. And just because they have winning records,
but
they're bad teams.
Even the Rams are playing.
Bad teams in the Patriots division that don't have winning records.
I think the AFC East is worse than the NFC West, if that's what your question is. The Jets,
there's a lot of bad
the Jets
out
no collapse, to me, makes that a worse division. They all play.
And I know the Bills never got there, but they collapsed too.
Yeah, so you guys are all on the Bills.
Right.
I wasn't.
In my mind, they've collapsed.
I'm sure in their owner's mind.
In Andy's
collapsed.
Mind, they didn't collapse because he was been all over Buddy Nix and Fred Jackson the whole offseason.
Yeah, we belong in the same sentence. What sentence is that? Giving up 1,200 yards in 2 weeks? Yeah.
This isn't 1968.
Suck ass sentence.
Can you imagine
how mad you'd be though if I don't know how Wilson is like in tune with everything and really cares, but. You're in a small market where everybody says, you know, you struggle to compete. We got to go to Toronto. Get some. And I spend $128 million.
Right.
And
you open the wallet for the guy who's.
Yeah.
He's not a bust, but he's not the leader you want.
He's a bust. Let's be honest. He's a bust.
Well, for the money.
I mean, if a guy in his fourth week or fifth week in a $100 million deal with a new team is being wondered, if we cut him right now, how much would the cap hit be? That's a bust.
Right, yeah.
I'm not saying he can't turn it around, but right now he's a bust.
Oh, absolutely.
A colossal Dolly Parton
bust. Yeah, I'm
bust.
Willing to give him some time, but yeah, well, he's a bust right now.
Yeah.
I will say for your NFC West, Freddie, I think all four teams
Isn't
play
interesting how a terrible player is a bust and a Hall of Fame player is a bust?
I see. Yeah,
Isn't that a little weird? Like, if you're the worst player ever, like Jamarcus Russell, you're the biggest bust. And then if you were the greatest player ever, you end up as a bust.
Right. You have a bust. Maybe.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they're two different meanings. So anyway.
Should we go back to school?
No! You don't find that interesting?
Okay.
Screw you guys.
Okay. Now he's going to be mad.
Well, I also, it's like raise and raise.
He's going to be angry at
you. You raise up something and you lift it up, or you knock down a building and you raise it.
To me, the biggest
surprise.
That's
why I'm raising Arizona for our cover that week.
If you're looking at the league overall, I think to me the biggest surprise is the play of the NFC West. Now, it may not play out to be that, oh, they were all that good at the end of the season because of with my formula of judging a schedule when the season's over.
But by Paul Perreault's win-based formula, they're pretty good right now.
But I think right now they're all playing good defense.
I think that they all play good defense, and they all play bad offense except for the Niners, who I think have a decent offense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider it good. I know that Merrill Hodge called it the best offense in football, which to me is offensive in every way, shape, or form.
More offensive than his ties.
Did you see Mike Ditka's?
For some reason,
he had a half and half, white and black, right down the center. It was the ugliest tie I've ever seen. It looked like one of those cookies.
Oh. I just think for some reason, when you play good defense, you're thought to be a better team than you really are. If you have no defense and you have a great offense, I don't think people look at you. They say, oh, you're incomplete. And then when you have really good defense, but you have no offense, you're like, oh, well, they're tough. They're a tough team.
I know, and it's just that people think if you have that good defense, you'll always be in a game. But it's the same thing if you have a great offense.
Well, that's the old school.
Right.
Defense travels
and all
that crap.
It's the same thing.
Right.
You know,
I just think in today's NFL, if you have a great anything, you're a great team because no one's all that good.
The Packers and the Patriots proved last year that you're always in it if you have a great offense and you have a terrible defense.
But see, I think that you're capable of going 13-3 and 14-2 in the Packers' case 15-1 with a great offense and bad defense, but you can't do that with the other way around. You're going to go 10-6 if everything breaks right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just think you need to score points. Yeah. I mean, even like the Baltimore Ravens had no offense. They won the Super Bowl that year, but they didn't go 13-3, 14-2.
Yeah, but I think if you put that Ravens team in this year, I think the league stinks. So I think.
Well, your thoughts on the league are well established.
It stinks. What do you want me to tell you?
You wrote a whole commentary about it.
Was I wrong?
I didn't say you were wrong.
And you say it stinks because there's no dominant team, right?
I don't even think there's really good teams. I think what is now considered really good in really good years would get their ass whooped. I mean, I don't know, we don't like to do this, but Patriots-wise, I don't think this Patriots team can hold a candle to great Patriots teams of the last decade.
Offensively, they certainly
could. I don't.
Oh, come on.
I think 07, which everybody wants to say they're better than, would blow them out 50.
No, no, no.
You run the ball, and
no,
I'll be scoring 50 points.
I'm up for you two guys later,
I'm talking about the championship years. I think that this offense is better than the championship years. Now, it's because
you think this offense is better than the championship years?
Yeah. I do. You don't?
No.
And it doesn't – see, you're getting into
– wow.
No, but you're getting into 2012 NFL. It doesn't matter if this offense is – the 03-04 Patriots teams kicked ass.
That's different.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
You have changed your evaluation of greatness.
No.
You now think if you're good at one thing, you're great. That's BS.
Again,
great is great.
I was not talking about the team. I do not think that this team is better.
Oh, okay.
I said that this offense is better.
2001, I would agree. 2004, I would not.
Oh, I would.
I think 2004 was a very balanced offense.
I would definitely say that.
Oh, George Papadopoulos died?
Yeah. I would, you know, in pure offense, in what offense is meant to do, this offense is better than 04.
No, it isn't.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Patooey.
You know?
But that wasn't my point. We started this discussion. I'm talking about teams.
Yeah, right.
You used to have to be good at both to be truly great, truly elite.
Absolutely.
And otherwise, you end up as, well, you got that Ravens team that did it. You don't want to be the exception to the rule.
When the Steelers were doing it, they had Lynn Swann and Stallworth and Franco Harris. They had good offenses.
Right.
You know?
So that's where I think people have changed their standard. If you're great at anything, they think you're automatically an elite team. And in this league, you probably are. But, you know, I shouldn't say that because I do think Houston, if they can kind of keep it going and continue to evolve, have the potential to be great or very good on both sides of the ball.
The Andy Hart Super Bowl, and Andy's not alone in this, I'll call it the traditionalists Super Bowl, would be Houston against San Francisco. It's teams that play good defense, good offense, not great offense.
Well-rounded teams
yeah. that run the football and throw it reasonably effectively, and they play good defense. Now, if those two teams ultimately end up being at the top of the two conferences, there's something to be said for you still need to do it that way.
And
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
See,
I really don't.
And I think the Patriots are a defensive backfield away from being an elite team. I really do.
They're only 4/11 of one side of the ball.
Well, you know what I'm saying. They're close.
Yes, I do. But I think there's plenty of teams that are a quarterback away or a receiver and a tight end away.
Many teams couldn't say that? If they had four or five more good players, they'd be elite.
I think if the Patriots had one shutdown corner, they'd be elite.
Do you think they have an elite pass rush?
I think it's getting better every game.
Yep, really?
Absolutely. And I think if they felt a little bit more confident with what's behind them, they take more chances.
True.
And then you would see more.
But you're
results.
Saying
they
you think they
year.
Are one of the, in my opinion, second most difficult players to find in the NFL away from being great. I think the quarterback's the hardest thing to find. I think a shutdown corner is probably the second hardest thing to find. Maybe, you know what? They might be harder. A truly great corner is probably rare.
You heard my commentary last week, you think it's harder.
You think every quarterback's great.
I didn't say great. I said the level
We're in
of play.
The golden age of a
golden
quarterback
age of quarterbacks
play.
Right now.
Are we, Paul, or are we in the suck-ass age of defense?
You should have heard him last week, Freddie, when I was telling him, he goes, nah, I'm not buying it. It's all defense.
It is. It's bad defense.
Well,
it's the rules against the defense.
You know what
would
be funny?
Lack of corners that can shut down receivers. Mm-hmm. You can't play physically. You can't do anything.
They always make the big deal of telling you, well, you know, the good defense will be good offense, and you gotta, you know, you gotta do this. And we'll see what happens when the Patriots play all these juggernauts in the NFC West. We'll see, you know, if the Patriots offense gets shut down like it did.
They're already 0-1.
But, no, that's what I'm saying. We'll see what happens against the Rams and against the Seahawks. If they score 18 points against them, then I'll say, you know what, I was wrong.
I don't put the Rams in that category. I don't think the Rams are great.
Everybody else is saying it.
Yeah, I know. The only great thing they have is that Z kicker who kicks 60-yard
field
goals.
Well, everybody's talking about their defense and how they're so they're going to keep them in every game because they're so tough defensively.
Quinning!
Their front seven with Long and Quinn. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it. But
he fights the majority nonstop.
Because you don't see.
You should have a show what they are saying and what is true or something.
All I can tell you is none of these comments about the NFC West.
I'm surprised that Paul doesn't think the Bills are like a really good team.
Because
right, everyone
says they suck.
No, it's the.
And the Jets aren't done. They're just hitting their stride.
Because I was similarly the outcast all offseason.
Oh, now that proves him right. I get it. Oh, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, you guys were all not you guys.
Now they've all come to him.
I wasn't the only one because Andy was right next to me in terms of not buying Buffalo from the start.
I was wrong.
And you were in the majority. Everybody was on the Bills.
Sure.
Everybody.
Yep. I was
Paul's
wrong.
Like, I don't see the problem with the economy. Really? It's overrated.
See, that's just being Felger.
That's just being a jackass.
That's just being Felger. I'm just going to be a contrarian. I'm not a contrarian for the sake of I'm
no, I truly believe you
I'm
believe.
With every, but I'm with everybody
what
on
you
the
thing.
No, but I, like the Jets.
Your brain is just not wired. Right.
But I'm not a contrarian. I'm with everybody on the Jets. Like, I went through the whole thing last week. 2-2. Yeah, same as the Patriots. But it's nothing similar. They're in disarray.
I had to find quote unquote must stops for our paper.
Yes, and there's just
might want to run a half page ad.
I mean,
Jeremy Curley.
They have really dropped in terms of overall talent, and what some of the key players they had are obviously you take Revis out of the equation. That's a huge blow. I'm with everybody on the Jets. I don't see them as being a viable threat in any way. And I think the whole NFC West thing, and this is where I'm kind of getting at, and you can get back and make fun of me about my fascination with the fans, but that's what this is all about. This NFC West fascination is all about the fact that the Patriots are playing that division this year. That's what if the Patriots weren't playing the NFC West, no one would be pumping up the NFC West.
That's not true, Paul. I hear that. I hear the praise of the NFC West coming from national guys. I do.
Such as?
Now, if the Patriots have trouble with that tight end from the Jets, can we have our cover Cumberland Harms?
You saw he stole Hernandez's thing.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I saw
blatant
rip-off. Yeah, making it rain.
Although, I'm not really an expert.
Hernandez stole it, but...
Right. Who'd he steal it from?
I don't know.
I'm assuming he did.
From Pac-Man. Right.
Well, but there's a difference between making it rain and going in the safe and doing, like, the combo, taking the... That was Hernandez's... Remember?
He did exactly what Aaron does.
He had, like, three or four of them. He dug it up one day.
That was weak. It was a good catch, though.
Speaking of Hernandez, in the locker room today... Walking.
Yeah. Yep.
Talked to him about it. Yes, he was walking.
Steve Gregory was also walking.
I did not see Steve Gregory.
He actually engaged me.
Really? Where's the ring?
You guys going out now?
No, I mean, he's a nice guy.
They're all nice guys.
No, they're not. He'll look to, like, make eye contact and say hello, and not a lot. Chandler Jones does that.
Oh, right. Chandler Jones will never walk by you without saying something to you.
Yeah. Don't ever change, please.
And he doesn't know us that well. We had him on the radio once.
He's a great guy.
I can only imagine what he would be in a more liberal environment where they're allowed to kind of...
Oh, yeah.
You know what would be interesting to see how that would affect him, like on the field? Because if he were a Jet, he'd be quoted every day.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got that kind of personality. He's not... I don't think he's, like, controversial, but he's just...
Right.
Personality.
Bubbly. Gregarious.
Bubbly. Gregarious. Yeah. Great word. Thanks, Eric.
Sure.
If you were a Jet, you'd hear stuff from him every day.
Hightower,
but I wonder if he'd be
playing
as good a player.
Think Hightower has a chance of playing?
Don't ask me. I thought he played last week.
I absolutely think Hightower plays this week.
And do they need him?
Yes.
Yeah.
They need the front seven this week. Right. I think it's a base defense.
Oh, this is a base
game.
Defense week, and I don't really want to see Tracy White starting in my base defense. Oh, no. He's
do you
hurt
think
now
that
anyway.
That might have had anything to do with giving him an extra week?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. See, I'm not as concerned about this
injury. So they're thinking a game ahead?
I guess you guys are right. I am a contrarian. I'm not concerned about the injury as some other people are.
But I will be if he's inactive.
Let's go to the ace ticket hotline.
No, then I would be wrong.
Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I want to talk about I was watching Patriots Total All Access.
Patriots Total All Access is a new show, but go ahead.
Yeah. And I was watching the post-game highlights in the locker room. And I saw Ben Belichick was saying that with the win over the Bills.
Yep.
That Devin, I guess he was talking about Devin McCourty, that I'm a ride with you. Or with some comment. I was eating at the time. I almost choked. You know? Because I'm like, you know, if I'm Wes Welker, because I know like a couple weeks ago you guys was talking about how Wes Welker was, you know, acclimating the offense or whatever the case may be. And now it seems like to me now, all of a sudden, since the Baltimore game, he's getting his touches, the offense moving a lot better. So I want to know if they did it on purpose for real. I mean, you guys are saying so, and it looks like to me, it's like they kind of did it on purpose. And then when I'm hearing Bill Belichick in the locker room saying, Devin, I'm a ride with you.
Well,
and you don't want to ride with other players that make plays. I mean, I like Devin McCourty as a person. He looks like a nice dude. But the dude can't play, man.
Well, here's the thing, Tyrone. Here's the thing you need to know about those post-game things in the locker room. A, they're only posted after a win. They're not posted after a loss. And B, there's other stuff said that we don't get to see. It's highly edited. So they get out what they want, you know, to get out. And I think that, you know, Welker doesn't need any defense from the team, from fans and media. Everyone loves Wes Welker. And if anything, they were defending him when he wasn't playing. As opposed to McCourty, I mean, he gets it from all sides. So I could see where Belichick felt he wanted to get out there in the public the fact that the team and him is behind him.
Right. Yeah. And wanted to get that in there. You know, that starts out as an internal thing. They know it could end up, you know, on all access. What was it? Total all access.
Yeah.
But coaches have
to
coach.
We're talking all access. Right. We have the producers.
Coaches, producers right here.
Coaches say things for a reason sometimes.
That's
it's not
right.
always the truth. And I don't fault him for that. You know, Bill Belichick, you know, my example is a lot of times he'll say what happened last week, last month, last year doesn't matter. And then if you remember a few years ago, they were like 9-6 heading into the, you know, we're a team that won 9 games, remember. We're not the worst, you know. And, you know, well, I thought you don't care about the record.
Yeah, right.
Coaches coach. They have to manipulate the situation and say things at certain times to coach.
Didn't you ask about that and get in a little bit of trouble?
I got granted, MF'd.
But, you know, what I was hearing other people, like, because I was always, you know, listening to, you know, because I was always watching the injury report to see when Alfonso Dennard was going to come. And I always knew he was a player. And I think, Andy, you referenced yesterday that, you know, we all said about Darius Butler. I think this is different because you could tell right away that dude is a player. You could tell it right away.
Well, that's where I differ because Darius Butler looked like a player his rookie year, too. I remember we were talking about him breaking on balls. He had that interception return. He looked like a player, and then he fell off the map.
Dude, but he wasn't projected as a second-round pick coming out of UConn.
Yeah, Darius he was talked Butler? About as a first-round pick, actually.
Yes, he was.
Some people thought he was going to be a first-round pick and the best athlete in the draft.
He was similarly regarded as McCourty in that same kind of draft. End of the first, early second.
And considered an elite athlete who was also going to play offense, too.
Yeah, a guy. And by the way, Bill gave him opportunities to get the ball in his hands a little bit in that training camp as a rookie. So he clearly was on board with that. Even talked about it during the season.
Maybe, I remember asking him about it, and he actually said, yeah.
Yeah, broaching ways to get him the ball on offense.
So, you know, let's not revise history here.
Okay, well, I was wrong. Well, I thought Darius Butler was because I think he was a punt returner, too.
Yes.
At UConn, I think, if I'm
played,
not mistaken.
Played all three phases at UConn, and some people thought he would do that here.
Okay,
come to find out, he couldn't play any of the three.
And, by the way, has not caught on anywhere else.
I would like to think Dennard is a player, and I couldn't be any happier with what I saw the other day. I thought he looked like he belonged. I want to see more, but I wanted to see more Butler when he was making early plays, too.
One other thing before I go. Andy, I know you always say this offense is okay, but something tells me this week we're going to see how really good this offense is. My opinion, and this is my opinion, I think Elridge from North Carolina would agree. I'm thinking there's still one nice wide receiver away and another offensive lineman. Because, look, the offensive line playing well so far, but they're going to let us down in the playoffs. That offensive line is already makeshift as it is. I don't think the offensive line is going to get us the way we need to get. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, Tyrone.
Thanks, Tyrone.
He's right, because I don't know if you know, this is, you know, we like to say in training camp, ones versus ones. That's what this is. Number one offense versus number one defense. Who can swing? Who can, you know, who can stand up? Who's legit number one?
Yep.
And
so
I'll be disappointed.
We'll find out.
I'll be really disappointed if this offense isn't able to move the ball. You know, I'm not talking about 450 and 35, you know, first downs and all that stuff, but I want to see it look normal. I want to see the offense move and score, and if they don't, then I'll be disappointed.
You know what
I'll agree with Tyrone.
This smells like a Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen screens and draws week. All you hear about all week is Andy Hart saying, they got a swarming defense and speed, and all of a sudden they take advantage of that and they swarm to the ball. Oh, wait, he doesn't have the ball. Woodhead's going down the sideline for 30.
And
Vereen's going up the middle for 40.
I know that Bill Belichick will not allow the Seahawks front to dominate the game the way Green Bay did. It won't happen. If they come out the first series or two and Brady sacked twice in the first two series, you know, third and 10, he's sacked and they punt. Third and 10, he's sacked and they punt. I could see him going the rest of the game without another sack because Belichick will say, we got to fix this. This is what we got to do. You know, and I'm not talking about what the specific adjustment will be, but he'll change something to make sure that doesn't happen. Might be screens, like Andy said.
Yeah, but the first play of the game is either going to be Gronkowski deep down the seam or Lloyd deep down the sideline. That's going to be the first play of the game.
Okay, we'll see.
Mark it down.
I say it's a screen.
Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Larry.
Nothing much. How you doing?
Nothing, just doing the same old.
Same old. All right.
Hey, bro.
But, yeah, I'm talking about that with the other caller, Tyrone. It's kind of true because that the offensive line is kind of scary. And, yeah, I know the Seahawks, they swarm in front. But in the playoffs, we're gonna have formidable front lines every game, like at least for two games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not even thinking that far ahead at this point.
Plus,
know?
Who knows? I mean, first of all, what line are we talking about? Are
right.
we talking about the line with Vollmer and Mankins, or without Vollmer and Mankins?
I think we're talking about with him.
Okay,
we
I'm
talking
okay.
about with the starters. With the it's just like I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a little bit of Brady's fault too, because he was ducking ghosts.
Yep.
In that game. And,
he did, Larry, you're right.
I was like, you got to stand in there and just deliver that ball.
I hear but, you. Easy for us to say.
I'm a little concerned about the offensive line, and the concern is not just about the health of Mankins and Vollmer. It's about the play, too.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I think they've been a little inconsistent. I would agree with Larry.
But and there was another thing I read about the reemergence of Devin McCourty after the Bills game. And in my head, I'm like, it's more a reoccurrence every time in that time of that game that we need to stop. And he's always giving off that pass interference. And it's just like, that's not going to work. They, in the playoffs or, you know, when we need to get a playoff spot, you know, that, you know, getting beat in those times. You know, you don't get beat. You know, you can get yards, but don't get beat like that. And when you're doing pass interference, you're getting beat.
It's true.
True.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
He's out of phase.
And then it was just a rookie, and Peyton Manning, I just looked like, as soon as he got in the game, Peyton Manning was licking his chops like, I'm going to his side. Two consecutive plays.
They all should. Yeah. Did you see what Joe Flacco did?
All day.
Yeah, that's what I think they all should. I mean, I think Russell Wilson is capable of that. What Joe Flacco did, dropping back and throwing it to a spot, any quarterback who's a starter in the NFL should be capable of that, and I would test McCourty.
And I'll tell you
that's
you
how
this.
I can make a play if I'm the Seahawks.
All right, guys.
All right, Larry.
Peace out, Larry.
To Andy's
goodbye,
point, too,
Larry.
If you're Seattle and you want to think about how can I'm not going to be able to win this game 14-12
no.
the way I've been winning all my games. So what do you do? You know there's going to be at least one safety near the line of scrimmage. So you got to run a lot of deep balls in this game, I think. I think you need to get downfield on Arrington and McCourty.
Sure.
Probably without much help. Because you got to be up there stacking the line for Lynch. That's how you do it.
If Wilson is still out there, you know, we already know that people think Chung is kind of a liability in coverage. If Wilson, Paul thought he was a step slow getting deep last week.
I thought he looked out of position a few times. I mean, I'm not.
So it's not like you're just taking shots. You can even kind of rationalize it to yourself. Well, they got a rookie safety who's maybe struggled a little bit last week. Let's take some chances. And McCourty has been beaten with regularity still, even in his bounce back year.
Ramon in Dallas writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Quick question about the defense. It seems we pride ourselves on takeaways or turnovers. After seeing the way Seattle plays offense, how many takeaways or turnovers do you see us getting this week? I'm thinking at least 3 interceptions and maybe 2 strip sacks. I'm not sure we'll get any fumbles from the running back. With this in mind, do you see the defense being able to win this game without any help from the offense? It seems like the perfect test for them. Bad offense to take advantage of, and the opposing team has a good defense that can pose problems to your offense.
No, I don't think this game can be won just by our defense.
So if the offense has a really bad day,
yeah,
can the defense win it? I agree with Andy. I
think there's a chance you'll get a strip sack or you'll whatever, but.
But that's exactly how Seattle wants to win the game, is, mm-hmm, you know, have their defense dominate and score, you know, just enough to win. You know, the big thing is, too, it's funny, get a lead. You know, if Seattle...
Right, that changes everything.
If Seattle gets a lead,
crowd,
that's how
too.
They want to play,
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And the opposite for you, try to quiet that crowd a little bit, keep them out of it.
Right.
Are you excited to the Turbinator?
Yes. Now, what kind of play has he been getting?
He's been a complimentary back, but he's played well
Pete brought him up
chances.
This morning,
yeah,
when he was talking about Lynch, and then he brought up, we're lucky we got a guy that can kind of give him a breather in Robert Turbin.
I like that guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Feeling kind of dangerous.
Hey,
Fred.
James,
tell Fred and all the fellas I said hey.
James of Brisbane, on yesterday's show, Andy said something that really stood out to me, that there is no such thing as a throw that can't be defended. I have to disagree here and say that I think there are plenty of throws where the corner can do absolutely nothing about it. The Decker touchdown on the weekend was one of those where the only thing you can do to stop a throw like that is sack the quarterback before he gets the throw off. I won't argue that McCourty hasn't been playing up to scratch so far this year, but I think he's been playing much better than last year, and the very least is showing signs that maybe he can return to something resembling competent top corner play.
I agree with that, except for the starting part that there are throws that are uncoverable. I think every throw can be covered. You just cover it better. You know, if he turns his head a second quicker and gets that hand up a second quicker, he knocks that ball away. He was within, I mean, a hair of knocking it away.
Some of those quick slants are near impossible if the throw's on the money.
I think there's a quick slant that the throw has to be bad.
Right.
For you to, right. You know, if the throw is right on a quick slant.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Generally,
I don't think there's a single throw.
No, I think we're playing a little semantic game.
All right. Okay. So Darrell Revis, I mean, he gets thrown on sometimes. He doesn't.
Because he doesn't play it perfectly every time. I'm saying if you play
perfectly every time.
It's impossible to do what you're saying, to play it perfectly every time.
Well, it's impossible to throw it perfectly every time,
That's right. That's why there's some incomplete.
So every throw is defendable if you play it perfectly. I'm not saying it's easy to play it perfectly. I'm saying there are no throws I can do.
Yeah, but you're talking about a theoretical that's not based in football reality.
No, I think you are.
Okay.
You're telling me there's plays that can't possibly be defended.
You're telling
me about a theoretical.
A false theoretical. If you want to be definitive about it, yeah, nothing is always one way. But I think there are some throws and some patterns, if done right, are really, really, really hard to defend.
Sure.
Really hard.
But that doesn't mean
they can't
be defended.
Yeah, well, okay.
And just a question. Why don't Peyton
anything.
Manning and Tom Brady, who are the best at quarterbacks, why don't they run those all the time?
It's possible to defend anything.
Yes,
you know,
thank you.
But it's really hard to defend some of them.
It's harder.
Yeah, a lot harder.
Sure, there are different. But if there was this hypothetical throw and route that was
indefensible, they would
Brady
run
would
it
run it every play, because I think he's good enough. More often than not, his throw will be good enough to take advantage of this hypothetical, this theoretical throw that no one can stop.
And I also think with regard to McCourty, which is actually what we're talking about with this whole thing,
sure,
I think people are fixating on the touchdown that he actually did have pretty good coverage on. There was 5, 6, 7 other plays that were worthy of talking about where you're wondering, where's the Devin McCourty from his rookie year? You know, why is he running so far behind Demaryius Thomas on that fourth down late in the game? that resulted in a, like a 38-yard play.
Is that why one was out of phase?
That's the one that Greg Bedard used, a phrase that I never heard today, out of phase.
Out of phase?
Out of phase. Not shoulder to shoulder with the receiver or something like that. I'd never heard it in all my years covering Bill Belichick.
It's like, kind of like purple haze?
Why? I mean, my question is, why is he consistently chasing? You know, people keep complaining about he doesn't turn his head for the ball. Well, it's hard to turn your head and look for the ball when the guy's 5 yards behind you.
He's but it's the exact opposite chasing. Of his. All I can remember us talking about. Seems like he's just stride for stride with the guy so fluidly. He just easily, he's on that hip and he's just running with him. And then he casually looks back and, well, it's the exact opposite now. He's not only not stride for stride, that keeps him from being able to casually look back and make a play.
And I know around these parts we don't like Cromartie of the Jets, but, you know, they highlighted him, you know, the other night. And it's exactly what we are talking about. You know, he'd go out and he would be hip to hip with the guy. And the guy makes his turn and his recovery speed is that good where, you know, he's right back in the play, even with, you know, the receiver knowing where he's going and Cromartie not. That's what we saw. Boy, I thought that's what we saw that first year.
I would hate to coach him, Cromartie. He's clearly the guy that has the talent to do what Fred just said. When all of a sudden Revis is out and I got Andre Johnson tonight on Monday Night Football.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know,
he flicks it.
13 other weeks of the season I'm covering Golden Tate. And, you know, he's going to have 11 on me because I don't really feel like covering
him. If you remember, that was a part of the HBO.
The HBO Hard Knocks.
He, like, admitted to it, basically. And the coach said, you can't just flip it on when you want. We need more consistency.
You know, do you remember the game that Revis got hurt and he covered Moss in the second half? And it was like, no more for you.
Did a great job.
And everybody said Brady was forcing it to Moss.
Ask him to cover Branch or Welker, and he...
Well, but that's a little different.
No, I'm just saying, it's just such a letdown for him to not be covering that guy that everybody said, I want to see this marquee matchup on the outside.
But it's a bad matchup for him for those little quick guys, I think.
Could be.
It is.
But I'm trying to ask Rozay Dowling to cover Welker the whole time.
You know,
well, that may be. I'm not saying he's the most, you know, hardest worker and is always on, but I think there are different matchups that suit his long, rangy, striding ability.
Let's go back to the A Stickin' Hotline. Mike's in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Do you know
Larry? Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good, man. Listen, two quick statements and a plea for Fred.
All right.
Uh-oh. Number one, I love you all like you are hot women.
I don't know if I like that.
That's kind of disturbing.
Secondly, John, I think, from L.A. last week said a statement that I think sums up the whole thing with the defense and everything. He said if Belichick could draft as well as he could coach, he and Brady would go undefeated every year. And that's how I feel. I feel like if we had better players, we'd be just unstoppable, which is obvious. A lot of teams could probably say that, but Bill's the best coach, and if you just had some better players, you know, there'd be no stopping us.
Okay.
Thirdly, Fred, I need your help, man. I've sent, like, four emails to Carol and one to Web Radio. I got a nephew that's a guest of the state, and he relies on his PSW. I'm trying to get the address changed. I'm not getting any help. Can you please?
Send me the email. I'll make sure it happens.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right, Mike.
Another happy Carol customer.
I like that. A guest of the state. We have quite a few of those.
These are our people. Actually, they're pretty much your people.
Adam is in Alexandria, Virginia. Hey, Adam.
Butchered that.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to touch on the McCourty not turning around issue that's been big lately.
Yep.
I think it was Paul who, like, interviewed McCourty and said that, you know, the whole thing where you can't look back. If the ball is not thrown yet, you get out of position.
Well, not you can't always just look back. Sometimes it's not the technique to look back.
That's right. That's true.
Right. And yesterday, I know John Rook was saying that they're specifically coached to play the hands, to look at the guy's hands and not be looking for the ball. Now, my thing with that is, I mean, I don't know whether that's true or where he got that information.
No, that's largely true, yes.
I mean, remember Moss had that great way of he wouldn't move his hands, and at the last minute, he would just snatch the ball. And he knew that. That's what the guy was
like,
doing.
Like, I'll give you an example. The deep ball that he picked off that was underthrown in Buffalo, he was chasing on that play. He turned around when he saw the – I think it was T.J. Graham. He saw Graham sort of dial it down and look back because he saw that the ball – Graham saw the ball was underthrown, and he needed to try to get back and make a play on the ball. McCourty saw that as part of his technique, that's when he turns around. And that's when he ended up getting the interception. Now, if it's a good throw, he's chasing the whole way on that play.
Right.
That's
right,
where the problem. Right. That's where the problem is. He's not able to turn around and make a play on the ball.
But assuming that you just play the hands, don't look back until the hands go up. Like you were saying, Moss, some of the other veteran receivers, they time it perfectly. And is there any way, like even if you don't make contact with the receiver, if you reach in and punch the ball out at just the right time and you don't look back, technically, isn't that right there a penalty? Isn't that what when they'll call it if you're not looking back for the ball?
If he punches the ball out? No. Like, why is that a penalty?
Without looking back, you know.
No,
I mean,
as soon as the receiver touches the ball, you can do whatever you want.
Here's the thing, and I think that what you're trying to say, if you make even the slightest amount of contact when you're not looking, you're probably going to get a flag.
Right.
But it's not a penalty to not look back.
Okay.
It's not just a penalty. I mean, you can, you know, put your hands up. If you don't touch the guy, it's not a penalty. I know a lot of people say that's face guarding. That's not a penalty.
Right. That's the term I was looking for. That's not an actual penalty.
As long as you don't touch the face
the
mask.
No, face guarding. Like you can't. You can put your arms up and when you think the ball's coming and you're not looking. If you don't make contact with the receiver, that's not a penalty.
That's correct.
The problem with that technique is, most refs are going to throw a flag if they see even the slightest bit of contact. And you might look back and say, "Oh man, he barely touched him." When you're out of position and you're desperately trying to wait, you know, if I brush against the guy's arm, they're going to call.
And sometimes the savvy receiver will run into the guy when he's doing that, like he stopped me from getting to the ball.
Exactly. Right. That's an easy call to draw because it's that back shoulder. The guy doesn't know what's coming. I'm going to run right into him.
Right.
And he's like, it's like he's bear hugging me.
Right. Right. Okay, Adam. Good call.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Jason in Lafayette, Indiana. Writes in, listening live today, which is a rarity because I'm usually at work and have to listen via the podcast, but today I'm on a mini vacation. Just wanted to say thank you for providing me with intelligent football talk. As a Patriots fan living in Indiana, I usually get nothing or the mindless crap from the national media. Case in point, just this morning, I heard Mike Lombardi on the radio. He was asked, what is the biggest surprise so far? I immediately thought it has to be the Vikings. Nope. Lombardi said, it's Andrew Luck's play. Really? The Vikings being 4-1 is less of a surprise than the number one pick in the draft, who was touted as the best quarterback prospect since John Elway playing well. All right. Just had to say thanks for being informative and entertaining after hearing that analysis. Yeah.
I find that equal. I'm with the emailer on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly what Lombardi said, but the biggest surprise is that Andrew Luck has played a couple of good games.
Yeah.
Who didn't expect Andrew Luck to have a few good games?
Right.
He's good.
I mean, I did hear people say, you know, don't be surprised if he has a lot of interceptions like Peyton did his first year. But everyone thought you would see why this guy was the first round
overall.
Yeah,
and he hasn't been great. I mean, he's got like a 50-something completion percentage. It's not
–
his numbers aren't like, oh, wow, he hit the ground as Tom Brady. He's, you know, a .130 every week rating, 68% complete. He's been a rookie quarterback, but a very talented rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Jordan writes in, I live in Prince George, British Columbia, some 3,000 miles from Gillette Stadium. I was fortunate enough to be there in 2010 to watch the Patriots play the Bills and listen to some of you guys in the restaurants afterwards. I work a late shift, so I never miss a PFW show at 9 o'clock. Anyway, sometimes the crowd doesn't sound so enthusiastic on TV at Gillette, but being there, completely different story. I found it quite loud. Now, in Seattle, I've heard rumors for years they've pumped fake crowd noise through the sound system.
Every place that's loud, that's the rumor.
Do you know if this is true? Every Google search turns up different answers.
Yes, it is true.
It's absolutely true, and it will be true this weekend if the Patriots lose.
The only place that they don't pump in crowd noise is Gillette Stadium.
Right.
And I don't want to rip Gillette Stadium for the noise, but I think, yeah, it's loud. When you go to a place where there's 68,000 people, it's loud. I mean, even the most quiet place, you're going to hear. But if you compared it to Chiefs, Seahawks, like if you could transport yourself from one to the next on three plays, I think you would hear a difference.
Well, look, I don't.
Baltimore, that Sunday night.
I don't want to get into a whole thing, but I even just recently on PatsFans.com, which is the biggest message board out there for Patriots fans, you know, there was a string recently, why isn't Gillette loud, blah, blah, blah. Everyone blames it on the acoustics of the stadium and the design of the stadium. This fan base was not loud at the old Foxborough Stadium. it's the fan base. But here's the problem. At times, they can be loud. And at Gillette Stadium, we've seen at times as loud as any other stadium. So it's not the stadium. It's the fact that they don't sustain the noise.
Well, I'm not willing to say it's totally not the stadium because I don't know architecture. But I know when they built Seattle, they said they were doing specific things with those little roofs and stuff to try to recirculate the noise back down in.
Yeah, it's a little bit steeper.
Now, that may be BS. I don't know.
But there are times when Gillette Stadium has been as loud as any other stadium.
Yeah, I don't know
they
about
just
that.
Don't sustain it.
I don't know.
They don't sustain it.
I think that there have been times where this crowd has been very loud. In the playoff, there's been some playoff games. I thought the Saturday night home game against Denver in the playoffs last year was very loud. Now, I'm not willing to say it's as loud as any other stadium. You know,
well, indoor stadiums.
No, I'm
excluded.
Talking about the Seattle, Kansas City of the world. I don't think it's as loud as that.
I think it can be, but they don't sustain it.
In Kansas City, as soon as that offense
takes over, they are on their feet, and it's sustained noise that makes it really hard for the offense to operate. Here, they don't start yelling when the Patriots are on defense until the team comes to the line of scrimmage. That's not when you start. You do it. As soon as the communication from the sideline starts, that's when you start need to make noise to interrupt that conversation going on between the sideline, not when they walk up to the line of scrimmage. It has to be sustained noise. That's what we don't do here.
Okay. Didn't he start this with, I don't really want to get into this, but.
Right. Yemi from Texas, how is the Patriots running game having so much production with the greatest blocking wide receiver in Patriots history injured? Edelman will never be a better player than Welker and should never get more snaps than Welker. You guys are being arrogant about the Seattle game. Didn't Arizona just prevent us from scoring 20 points 3 weeks ago? The Seahawks have a good front four and two good safeties to run with Welker in the tight ends. Isn't that the formula the Giants have used against us recently? Phillips and Roll have been instrumental to the Giants' success against us recently. Seattle has a similar formula.
I think that defensively what you say has a lot of truth to it. My arrogance, if that's the right word, that's the word the emailer used, is because I just don't see Seattle being able to provide any kind of compliment.
But we said the same thing about Arizona.
And they didn't.
I know, but they won.
No, I know they won the game, Fred. But
they shouldn't have.
I don't think that they can score even the 20 that Arizona scored.
Okay.
Plus, don't forget that Aaron Hernandez went down early in that, and I don't know the effect that had.
Right, and don't forget that we actually won that game, but a bad call on Gronkowski. It's true.
My point being...
It's true. Look it up.
I can see...
Google it.
I could see Seattle defensively doing some of the things that Arizona did to slow the Patriots down. I can't see the Seahawks offense complementing that enough to win the game.
Plus,
now,
I mean,
it's not
am
impossible.
I wrong to think the Patriots are better on both sides of the ball than they were?
I was just going to say, I think the offense, even though, you know, this is a young season, I think the offense has gotten better.
I think they both have.
The best
I think
point
better.
To me is what you said about Hernandez. You went into a game thinking you were going to do A, and three plays in, you had to go to B.
Right.
They don't have to worry about that. They know if Hernandez is going to play or not this week.
Right. That's true.
They know.
Did Bill tell us? No.
Robert,
interesting Bill, injury report today.
Bill, by the way, fascinated with that Seahawks defense.
As he should be. He's dreaming, how good could we be if I had something like that to work with? And Pete Carroll goes, I don't know, why don't you draft people like this?
Hey.
If I were Pete Carroll, I'd be a little... He's put that together. I mean, I forgot the exact number, but there's like one person on the roster since he took over.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that other guy, what is it, Schneider?
Yeah, John.
I mean, they took some heat on the Bruce Irvin pick. You know, they've made trades, which is sort of unheard of in the NFL, to make a trade for arguably your best offensive player and defensive player in the same calendar year, I believe. They traded for Clemens, and they traded for Lynch, I believe, in the same calendar year. And you could argue they're the two best players on their respective sides of the ball now, so everybody likes to. Oh, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm jacked. He's doing a pretty damn good job out there.
You don't have to sell me. I've always liked Pete.
No, but I mean, everybody likes him, but does everybody respect him? And I don't know if he gets the respect that he deserves.
Well, certainly on defense, he does.
I just don't think they're very good. I think that he's made some good moves.
So Paul would say, no, I don't respect what.
No,
he's done.
I think he's done a good job. I agree with you. I think he's done a good job. I just don't think they're as good a team as obviously you two do.
Well, I don't think they're as good a team. I think their defense is very good. I think their defense is legit. Too legit to quit.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I can't argue with you on for what they've done the first 5 weeks. I'll be very impressed. I'm not sure
they're going to finish the year as the number one defense
in the NFL.
I'm not going
to lie to you.
Right,
if the Patriots are below 25 this week, I'm going to be stunned.
Well,
I will be absolutely
I'll be
stunned.
Pretty surprised, too, because I think we've shown over the years, like when we play the Broncos, that if you don't have an offense, if you have a high school offense, and I think that's what Seattle has, the inability to throw the football.
24. How about that?
He changed it by a point. I give a rat's ass and even remember what point he told
because, I think on All Access I predicted 24-13. But so I don't want to be. Oh,
I don't think any 100% one-dimensional team like that can. I mean, the Patriots are going to score some points. When Russell Wilson goes 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, sooner or later, Brady's going to have some success. Because Brady's great. It's 1 versus 1. You know, just as much as I think of the Seahawks defense, the Patriots are the best offense in football. They can run, they can throw, they have a lot of weapons. So even if they're somewhat even, Patriots are going to get some plays.
Right. Robert writes in, just finished Greg Bedard's article on Patriots No Huddle. On the Patriots No Huddle.
He started on Thursday.
As usual, Bill's ahead of the curve.
It was like 3,000 words.
But it did get me thinking about how these concepts would be transferred to your show. For instance, instead of Andy going on a fantasy-filled odyssey about breasts, he could say, D-cup. That's the one word thing. If Paul doesn't like a player, he could just say, Welker. Fred has actually been doing this already, see unit. And, of course, when Eric talks about his romantic situation, he would just say Metro.
Nada.
Of course, I wouldn't want to speed up the show too much that we would miss the Nuggets, but this would allow you to be the future of sports team radio. So just one-word comments. That's good.
That was good.
Isn't there a guy that does that? Like a radio guy that just speaks in absolutes and like one-word sentences? Nah, never mind.
One-word sentence? I don't know. You don't know who it is?
No.
A real one, like successful and has a show and all that?
Well, there was like one of those old-time radio or TV announcers from like the 60s that used to do that a lot, but I can't think of who that was. Star.
Erica says about, you know,
touchdown.
How teams are shaping up. She says, did y'all not see the Houston Jets game Monday night? Houston is not as good as you think. If Sanchez can complete some passes against them and actually have a chance to win, I'm not worried. I'm more nervous about Seattle and the Rams than Houston.
Did y'all not see the Patriots-Cardinals game? I'm a little worried about them.
Now, am I being a contrarian for thinking that Houston's better than St. Louis and Seattle?
No. Why would that be a contrarian? They're universally the number one team in football.
Because it's going counter to what the emailer said.
No,
we're
no, no.
Worried about Seattle.
When you argue
and
with
St.
one
Louis.
Person, it's just you being you. But when you argue the consensus.
I love how he claims that he doesn't argue with anybody.
Right.
I'm the only one who's argumentative.
That, I mean, Houston is universally the, you know, Wilson Hart Power Index. I see Pro Football. They're the number one team because they have an offense, they have a defense. You know, the Falcons are there and the Niners are there. But. I mean, everybody thinks those are the three best teams in football, I would say, by far.
Speaking of the power index, John has a limerick. The Wilson Hart Index may condense an array of stats that are immense, secretive and complex. Most laymen, it will vex. It lacks nothing except common sense.
What does it lack? I mean, I could see that if, you know, Houston ranks 17th despite being 5-0. They're 1-2.
Right.
And even Patriots fans, you're the highest ranked two-loss team.
You really don't see the curiousness of the index until later in the season.
It's a true index. No, it's a true index, and it's a cumulative effect of their statistics and how they play all year.
Right.
I could just, you know, make it up and say, hey, Fred, who do you think is good? Okay, Houston got one vote. Hey, Paul, who do you think is good? Oh, no one? Oh, that's hard to do in an index, Paul.
No, that's you. You're the one who doesn't think anybody's good.
No,
I think
I have
Patriots
to rank
are good.
Them.
I think Houston's good. I think San Francisco.
So if I mean Paul Perillo's win-based formula power index.
If you had the Patriots number one in your power rankings, I wouldn't argue with you on that.
I would.
No, it wouldn't be my
pick. Two losses.
It wouldn't be my specific pick
right now. It's not based on one loss.
No, but winning is an aspect of it.
Right.
You can't just play.
The index is supposed to lead to winning. If
right.
If you're good in the index.
And it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very defensive.
Chris, I'm a little sick and tired of this not getting any respect around here.
It's a good thing he doesn't argue with anybody. Right.
No, I'm arguing with you two.
More Fred. Fred's the one that's really.
I could have the just win-based formula by Paul Perillo.
Fred's poking the bear right now.
The curiousness of the index is best seen later in the season.
No, actually it isn't. Because when a team is riding a third-string quarterback to playoff victories, you find out they were actually the best team in football all year, the index told you.
He just got you to fight twice about the same comment.
Chris with the TIAN says, I actually heard Troy Brown mention this out of phase thing on Sunday's postgame show with Ty Law and Felger. Never heard it before either. Andy, I must commend
you. Maybe that's where Bedard got it, too.
Yeah.
But I hate when people write things, and this is my critique of it.
Yeah.
Just because Bill Belichick may say out of phase means you're not running shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip with the receiver, doesn't mean it's a universal term. Pete Carroll may say it differently. You know, we've seen Bill Belichick say blitz zone and zone blitz as compared to the rest of the world, or, you know, turning it over. They're turning it over. That means on defense, they're turning it over. They're creating turnovers. And the star position or the money position.
Right.
That's in the Belichick family tree. That doesn't mean everybody calls it a star or a money.
Right. That's right.
So I have a problem when people try to take specific terms from certain families or systems or West Coast, whatever, and then say, that's everything. All football, you know, every high school coach in America says, you're out of phase right there, son.
Well, I remember when back in the Carroll time, Robert Kraft and Pete Carroll were made fun of for using the term press corner. And I hear it all the time. But no one had heard it then.
But I think that's more of a universal term. That's my point.
It wasn't like, at that time,
if
though.
If Pete Carroll said, you know, elephant, well, you
right.
call it an elephant.
Right.
Or maybe he calls it a Leo now, because I've seen some people say Bruce Irvin is their Leo or Clemens is their
Leo. Remind me to get back to that press corner thing off the air.
Okay.
Who's he going to fight now?
I don't know. But
probably Robert, since he's not willing to do it on the air.
Christian says, Andy, I must commend you. That's right, commend you. Last week, you slammed Felger for hanging up a callers early if they asked how he and Maz were doing. I agreed. Apparently, we're not the only ones. Felger's producers informed him that he can no longer hang up on callers like that.
Yeah, they did that the next day, but he still does it.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. I know the producer was never on board. I heard him say that. But if he's informed he can't do it, I don't think that's the producer informing him that.
I think that's somebody
with some power.
The producer doesn't like it. That's Jimmy Stewart.
I know.
But
and he said that from day one.
His bosses have told him to cool it.
Right.
And they still do it a little bit.
Good, I'd fire Felger.
And, Paul, I'm looking forward to your weekly appearances on today's show and yet another shameless PFW plug. I love these. And Fred, you've done nothing noteworthy this week, so you suck.
I'm looking forward to taking suggestions.
You know what you need to do?
I want suggestions as to how to get the plug in every, you know.
No, what
I need some different
ways. More importantly, you need to say, hey, Mike, how are you? Tony,
no,
you doing good this
you
week?
You should just be overt with it and just say, look,
1-800-494-PASS.
That's right. I'm the only reason I'm here is
I just like some different ways to do it. I don't want to be boring and predictable.
Don't be afraid to throw my name in there too every once in a while.
I usually bring both of you guys up at some point.
I know. He's Footy Pajamas Fred Kirsch.
Oh, that's what Felger calls him. I don't call you Footy Pajama.
I was just going to swear, but I didn't.
You should call in someday and just be
that,
Fred in Foxborough and just start yelling at him. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask how you're doing because I hate you and just start yelling at him.
I don't hate Felger.
You should.
I don't.
Not a good guy.
He's okay. I enjoyed the times we had together.
Oh, I did too.
The times we had together.
Right.
Over candlelit dinners.
VIP Strippers writes in about the Seattle noise. He says, from Wikipedia, the seating decks and partial roof direct exceptional amounts of crowd noise onto the field. The most vocal fans sit in the north end zone bleachers, and their sound is amplified by the metal.
That's the crow's nest, right?
The metal bleachers.
The hawk's nest.
Now, the hawk's nest, sorry. The crow's nest. Is it
as
okay to call them the sea bags, too? I see a lot of people like Michael Irvin, people on like they call them the sea bags. It just sounds dirty to me.
Well, I don't know. That guy that got, what did he get, like 2 years in prison for teabagging that guy?
What?
That's what he got.
Wait, what?
Did you see it?
He's a Seattle Seahawks fan?
No. It was an Alabama LSU game. Strippers, I'm sure, will know all the details. There was an LSU fan that was like passed out outside the stadium, and an Alabama guy came out and teabagged him. He got like 2 years in prison for
Arabian goggles, too, or just teabag?
No, I think it was just a teabag.
Wow.
And the idiot, I mean, like, someone had a phone. They were like taping him, like, intentionally.
Reminds
it's not like
something.
Someone else taped him and he
so
got
it's
burned.
Against the law to teabag somebody?
That's sexual assault, brother.
That's assault, brother. Whoa. You've considered teabagging someone?
No, I didn't know there was a rule.
Outside the proper time and place for teabagging.
I didn't know there was
Adam
a rule.
Adam Schefter has the Patriots at 5, by the way, in his power rankings.
And the Wilson Art Power Index has them at 6.
I didn't know if there was a specific rule in the book about teabagging.
No. It's
I
a sexual
it would fall
assault.
Under, yeah. Keep you, well, first of all, exposing your thing in public is breaking the law.
Right.
So you have to expose it to teabag it, right? So you've already taken another step down the road of illegality. Because
right.
You can't teabag. Well, I guess you could kind of. But then would it count? That's not really teabagging.
Now, when you teabag. Oh, right.
It reminds me, though, of South Park when Eric goes, hey, you're gay. I stuck my dick in your mouth.
All right,
like, no, that makes right, you
okay,
gay.
Okay. All right. All right.
Wouldn't that be gay?
Wait, if you can say it on TV, no, you can say it on here.
Well, that's no. That cable has different rules. I don't know.
Yeah, so does the internet.
And South Park certainly has a whole other set of rules.
Anthony from Toronto says, hey, guys, and Eric, I'd like to talk about Deion Branch and how much impact he'll have in the game. Obviously, having played in Seattle for 4 years, will he know some added knowledge about the team and the stadium noise?
No.
And will he have an added impact on the offense?
It's a, as I said earlier, it's basically a total different team, everything.
Yeah.
This is not the Seahawks he knew and loved, except for the green that I credit him for bringing to the forefront there, because he had those fluorescent gloves that he was like the first to use. Wait,
okay.
You don't credit him with that?
Well, I don't know. Was he the first to use them?
I don't know. That's what I go with. Do you buy the sound thing, Fred, that strippers sent in? Or do you think that is architectural hogwash?
No, I do, because I remember when they built it, they said...
Yeah, but they say a lot of things when they build stuff. They said a lot of things about this place when they built it.
No, I buy it.
So you... Okay, then it does have something to do with architecture. They decided to put a little roof on to deflect
right.
stuff back in.
I know,
in.
But the whole thing here is that, oh, if it weren't for the architecture, they'd be loud. And I'm telling you, they never were, even before this stadium.
I agree with that. I know. Silence of the fans. All this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying there's a factor. 10%,
oh,
8%, 12%, whatever it is.
Absolutely. The more you have covering, the more the sound is going to stay in there.
So why didn't we put a roof on? A little roof. Not
cost.
A big roof.
Cost.
Go back and do it now. Retrofit it.
Probably could. Hey, guys, in the monkey.
Which one?
I say the Patriots are going to win the game.
I just picked his nose and hit the mic at the same time.
It was knuckle deep.
I just scratched it.
Right.
I say the Patriots are going to win this game handily, and if they don't, it will be because the Patriots' defense let them score more than 30 points. We keep treating the Seahawks like they are the 85 Bears defense, and I don't think they are what we think they are. The teams they have been. The teams they have been
beaten.
Have been. Yeah. Cardinals, ranked offense.
We lost.
Who scored 16 like they did against our amazing defense. Dallas, otherwise known as the Sybil of the NFL, who did not have their blankie of a tight end. Green Bay, when the referees pulled two touchdowns away from them and gave the Seahawks one in overtime they should not have had.
But it
and
had
the,
nothing to do with the nine sacks.
And the Rams, Sybil part two. Panthers, I don't even know what to say about these guys. So.
Well, who have the Patriots beaten then?
Yeah, I mean.
Denver?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is that a good or is that a bad?
I think Denver's a pretty good team, but that's it. You know, the other with Buffalo, Tennessee.
Right.
So I mean, you can make an argument that Buffalo and Tennessee are the two of the three worst teams in football right now.
Unless you've beaten like Houston, San Francisco, or Atlanta, you don't have a good win. And only one team has a good win because only one team's beat any of those three.
Minnesota's best team in football. They beat San Francisco.
Right. I mean, I hate that whole beat this team.
Especially
this
early in the season. You know,
right.
When you get at the, you know, you get 12, 13 weeks into the season, you know, and like a lot of people criticized the Patriots last year because they didn't beat anybody with a winning record. Well, when a whole season goes by and you haven't beaten anybody with a winning record, there's some relevance to that. Mm. And when they played a team with a winning record in the playoffs, they were, you know, nose to nose and almost lost here at Foxborough, and then they lost to the Giants. I mean, there's some validity to it. But 5 weeks into the season, we're breaking down one team's right. loss and not, you know. Defensively, I don't know. They have played pretty weak offenses, right? I mean, the only good offense they played was Green Bay's, and Green Bay's offense has been pretty average against everybody else, too.
Right.
Dallas has been one of the worst offenses in football so far.
Scott,
but early in the year, when you're really bad on offense and have played a really good defense, that factors into you being really bad on offense.
Well, it's a cumulative effect.
No, I know.
Scott writes in, it's funny how the concerns that we had going into the season and after the first game didn't even elicit an email. Example, Solder? I guess he is passing the eye test so far, but you may look at it differently. I know the O-line gave up 4 sacks in the second half last week, but I think Brady and the receiving core were more to blame than the O-line. I know the control freak will be against it, but with his new hustle and muscle running game, is the halfback option ever open on these runs out wide? I would like to think it could be, since it hasn't been run since Andy Johnson was in the backfield.
So you know, they already tried one this year.
Didn't end well.
It didn't end well. You got sacked.
Now, it was a little different because it was a
throwback,
a double throwback.
But it was clearly, that's what they were trying to do,
oh,
right?
Yeah. But it's not a traditional, he could have gotten rid of that ball probably quicker if he was just looking down the right sideline for a throw. And they haven't run that? I mean
I can't remember the last time they ran one.
But what, and they, I mean, the David Patton game, how did he get his touchdown throw?
Yeah, that was a
It's not a halfback.
That's 2001.
Well, but it's not Andy Johnson.
Wow.
I made it through the procedure Friday, partly thanks to you guys and Andy. My mom said to let you, to tell you, don't forget the castor oil and get the light on the way out next time. Wow. Guy's giving up his mom.
What does the castor oil mean?
Castor oil? I don't know.
Like if you had a...
Oh, is that
kid
to lube up his mother?
No.
Whoa.
Castor oil.
I thought it was for his bad potty mouth.
Yeah, castor oil is... used to drink it. You know, like medicine.
Like, yeah. Well, it was because if you were bad or something, you know. Like...
No. It was, but people took it at, like, they were supposed to take it every day.
Is it snake oil?
It's kind of like fish oil, I thought. At the
maybe.
Snake oil, fish oil. Which you take, by
the way. VIC strippers will give us the definition from Wikipedia.
It's not a lube for his mom.
Yeah, but I want to know what the definition is.
James,
isn't
the
castrol?
Most...
Oh, that's castrol.
James, the most interesting Patriots fan like in the world, oil. Says simply bend over, insert index.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
In your mother.
Oh.
Oh, see now.
See you Tuesday for lunch.
That's just poor to me.
Craig in Brockville, Ontario. I'm the nut yelling at the other fans to get up. We are a spoiled crowd. Don't cheer. I want a new sign to be put up on the big screen that reads, seats are for offense, not defense. Make some noise. That Denver playoff game was deafening, and it was sustained noise. All the regular season games that do not involve Manning are quiet. They can make the noise.
Well, anybody can make the noise.
Yeah, I think it can be loud, louder here in some games. I don't think it's loud at its loudest here. I don't think it compares to a lot of the other places.
But it could.
I would put Denver in there.
If you got all 68,000 to yell as loud as they possibly could at one time, they have the capability to be ridiculously loud.
But what Paul's saying is if you did the exact same thing in some other stadiums, it would be louder.
Well, I believe that because of the roof and the different things.
Right. Yeah, and it's not because
but it'll
they're
be
not
close.
Capable
if
of...
you get all of them to yell, right. Then they'll be competitive. Yeah. They'll be in the ballpark.
Yeah. Right. I'm not saying like...
Like they can be as loud as Baltimore, in my opinion. What does Baltimore have that gives them an advantage architecturally?
Yeah, it's not about the 68,000 people here are not capable of screaming louder or as loud as they are in Kansas City.
Right. But
I mean, obviously, if everybody's into
it's
a everybody's
will,
yelling,
it's the
it's
will
loud.
To do it.
Yeah. Right, and it's the style. You know, Paul doesn't yell at games. That's sort of the New England mentality.
I think that there's something to what the emailer said about being spoiled. I think we win so much that these games
but
largely are not
as... But even before the Patriots were a winning franchise, you would not get up.
Except to punch the guy.
You would not stand up.
I am not a huge, get up out of my seat, have 17 beers, fall on the guy in front of me and scream and yell the whole game.
The beers is a fall.
You don't have to be drunk
I'm
to
not one
yell.
But that doesn't mean that I'm the typical fan.
I think there's a lot of guys like you that
you
are,
might be
I'm not going to do that. Come on.
Well, you just made him drunk. He's slurring
his
words.
No, he's not.
I just feel, look, you guys obviously don't agree with me. I just feel like I want to see the game. I want to watch the game. And if I'm standing up yelling and screaming, I'm not necessarily seeing what's going on all the time. That's all.
Just when the Patriots are on defense.
Doesn't make me right. When it was a key part of the game, I'm up there screaming. Sure. Why not?
What's it like when you scream? What do you do?
You got to go to Matthews when Northeastern's on a power play.
Right.
That's when I'm sitting and I'm like, ugh. Another terrible power play.
The only time Paul yells at any sporting event is when it's at the refs. That's it.
I don't even do that anymore.
Like your kids' games?
Oh, God, Fred, no.
Kevin like that.
I'm not one of those guys. I know that you probably find that very hard to believe.
Oh, wait till your kid gets a little older.
I'm very quiet.
You will not be able
to. I'm very quiet.
You will
at my
have
kids
your
games.
Snarky comments loud enough so that everyone can hear them.
Well, that's different.
But it'll turn into a shouting match.
No. I'm
Whoa. So you're going to have a snarky comment. The guy's going to tell you to go F yourself, and you're just going to let it go?
Right.
No. I'm not having a snarky comment to the ref.
No, I'm saying, what if you have a snarky comment about some other parent or something that somebody takes offense
to? I would never do that. To a parent?
You'd fight a woman in line for diapers.
Carnival.
Oh, I can see.
Because the jerk had to restart the game because someone shot into the wrong hole.
If there's some parent on another team that's acting like a complete ass, you will say something.
To the other parent? Absolutely not. You've been in more of those fights than I ever will be in my life.
I can't believe that you're going to go through
your kid's would be the guy,
athletic
career
and not get into any confrontations.
When you said the snarky comment, I thought you meant like, Andy and I are over here watching the game and there's a guy on the sideline you know, making a fool of himself. Me saying something to Andy. Look at this jackass.
But you'll say it loud enough so people hear.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you will.
No, I wouldn't.
You
I'm
will.
Not Brian Morey.
You've done it.
And
you
I'm
will.
Not Fred Kirsch.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Fred has to be the crowd police at a lacrosse game. you know, he's like telling this guy, no, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not me.
I never do that.
I won't do
I
that.
I told them to shut up because I'm trying to watch
big
the game.
My big flaw is yelling at the refs. I can't I
right,
can't
and that
handle
will happen.
It. Now, but it's different when my kids are involved. Now they're being affected by my behavior. It's not just me.
Plus your wife's sitting next to you.
Well, but sometimes she's not. It's like a Saturday that she's working. I'm there by myself.
But to me, I
wouldn't want to embarrass Will and Tina.
If I had to put money on it.
There's a big difference there. If it was just me.
That horse has left the barn.
You know, when I was playing.
You already took him to Northeastern.
When I was playing my own games and stuff and I didn't care, you know, I did that constantly. But now there's other people that are going to be embarrassed by my behavior. And it's a little bit different.
TG and NJ.
I know you don't believe me, but. There's no way I could ever prove it. It's not like you're
going to
be.
Fred, I'm not going to be in on Monday. I'm going to have to go to trial first.
Never appear
before
happen.
The judge.
It would never ever happen.
How are you going to hold that in, Paul?
Because I just told you I would.
I don't understand who we
I
have a guy
sideline.
Who we have an audio clip. If it wasn't for my brother, I'd still be pounding.
You don't see the difference with that. Do you think that if I was walking
if
out of the Superdome with
you,
my two
you
kids,
have it in you?
You think if I was walking out of the Superdome with my two kids? That I would have reacted the same way.
But I think you're looking at it now 20? When you have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, a 3 and a 5-year-old.
You don't
think
that
when they're
you
16
just a
and 18,
bit?
You might look at it differently.
But all I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit.
But you don't think that matures?
Someone who has that in him just has it in him.
Right.
See, I totally disagree. You didn't do things when you were young that you would never do today?
That wasn't when you were young. You
of
were
course
like
it was.
25
you can
or
take
30.
The, you can take the boy out of Everett, but you can't take the
it
Everett
was
out of the boy.
25 years ago. 20 years ago. You don't do things, like you didn't do anything silly, stupid that you regretted, like 10 minutes
when
later?
When I was a teenager, yeah.
When I was 20. I mean,
but
I think
something like
absolutely.
That, if you have that switch, right. It that's just you're, how you're wired.
Paul, you're all about snark. You are.
This,
you like the snarky comments, and you say them loud enough so
no,
that they have
that
an
is complete. Name one that I've done passive aggressively like that.
Well, I haven't listed them out, but you do. You do.
I say them to you guys. That doesn't mean I want to start a fight with a guy.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't understand what's funny.
I'm
like,
only
kidding. I really don't.
I
don't understand why
fine.
We can't have a difference
you'll
between
be
something that you did when you were 22 as opposed to when you're 45.
You're
going to
be fine. The woman in Toys R Us with 25 years ago?
This was not like any big argument like that. A woman got mad at me because I went into the register. That was it.
Right.
And instead of just letting it go, I said something to her. But it wasn't like this big argument. If no one pulled me off, I would have been punching
only,
her.
No, you know, you would never hit a woman.
Not.
No.
And I wouldn't even have said a word at all if my two kids were with me.
Right. I'm only kidding. You're going to be fine. Just
but you're not
now he's
on
the back.
This is annoying me now. The other one was just like, oh, we're making fun of Paul. This is like condescension. You're out now calling me a liar.
No.
What would you rather be called?
You'll be fine. You will be.
You can
I'm
on.
Not being sarcastic.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not.
You're calling me a liar, basically.
No, I'm not.
And you're basically calling me Brian Morey.
Ooh. Well, Brian Morey's
the master
of it. Constantly
was looking to start trouble with people in the press box by saying things loud enough for everybody else to
hear, literally,
which I have never done.
He wouldn't even do it that way. He would just get involved. If someone was having a conversation in the other end of the press box and he didn't like what they were saying, he would insert himself.
The press box police.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you can't think of one time that Andy and I have ever been involved. I say things to Andy all the time.
No, that's true.
But I don't say it to the person.
That's true. That's true.
And is that wrong? That I actually
why is
do,
he yelling at
do
me?
I say it? But I mean, because usually you're next to me, and I usually say something to you.
To me, that's a different situation. I mean,
but I'm saying
it's a professional environment where you happen to be more
professional?
Than
have you seen
than
some
Brian
of the people
Moore.
Up
but
there?
I'm not professional.
But
by any stretch.
There's not as much emotion. There's not a personal attachment there. I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think it's apples to apples.
But I just would never do that. Out in public with my kids. I would never put them in a position where they would have to look down.
I firmly believe you believe this right now. But I do think there's a difference when your children are going to be
look,
borderline
adults.
Look,
even I, and we're getting right way off, even I have thought in my mind, what would I do if there was a guy who really no one else was sticking up to, and what would I do? And I don't think I could hold myself back. I don't.
I know that to be a fact because you've already explained sometimes where you've gone over and yelled at people.
Well, I mean, you know, right is right.
And I just think, I mean, I know myself. I have, when I lose my temper, I lose it. And it, I'm not saying.
If you want to well, consider it, consider it.
No, that wasn't a case of losing my temper. But I know myself, and I'm not proud of it to say it, but I know there's a certain point that.
Right. You're just not
going to. I'm going to regret it.
You can't back down.
I'm going to be embarrassed by it, but it could happen.
But in order to happen to me at one of my kids' games, it would have to be something directly at me. To me, like someone
or your
would have
kid.
To
or
confront
your kid.
Me,
or something happens to your kid.
But if someone does something wrong to my kids, that's not the same thing.
No,
you're talking about a referee.
But it kind of is.
No, it's not.
See,
if someone puts my, if I think my kids are in jeopardy, I'm not going to sit there and
no.
Say
but
nothing.
If there's a cheap
that's
shot,
different.
And then the guy's father is saying, something,
"Yeah,
they deserved
that,
it,"
and you think that's the same thing
as
a snarky comment to a ref? Or so someone can overhear it?
Yeah, I do, to
that's
some degree.
That's not the same thing.
I think a lot of these fights that happen at Little League games, the people legitimately think they're in the right.
Oh.
They're not, but they legitimately think they're
I'm
in the right.
What I'm saying is if something were to happen to your kid, and you saw the kid's father saying, "That's it, get him, break his leg," that's not the same thing as not liking the way the game is going or the way your kid's playing or the
but
way
you're
the
saying
referee...
you're capable of snapping and having an
but
issue.
That's different. I'm going to defend my kids if I feel like they're in danger. That's a whole different thing. And I think
I think
any person on this planet would do that.
You're kind of yeah. Whatever.
I don't think it's I don't think you're saying apples to apples.
I just think whatever the trigger is, there's a trigger.
Because,
well, to me, that's a snarky comment.
That's not a snarky comment. My kid just got cheap-shotted, and the guy is laughing about it.
Yeah,
that's not snark.
That happened. Yeah, see, I think it is.
Really?
It's a guy.
I'm sorry, but I think any parent on the planet would react aggressively to that.
I don't.
Really?
No, I don't think every parent would.
Well, they
should. If the kid got Nancy Kerrigan and somebody like pulled out a weapon on the field, but I'm saying if a guy gets cut blocked and yeah, way to take him down, break his leg. To me, that happens. There are idiot parents out there who say stuff like that, and that's how these fights can start. And you don't know that he intentionally broke his leg. He's getting cut blocked. It happens 100 times a game on a high school football field. But that's a situation that could blow up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I don't think you're legitimately defending your kids.
Most of those hockey fights
is one parent thinking
that another kid is...
Right.
Yeah.
And they think they're right.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're right.
Right.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't be the guy in the hockey parent. Just because my kid got checked hard and all of a sudden I got to go over and do something about it. I know you guys don't believe me. That's fine. But I wouldn't be that guy.
Okay.
But if someone's openly saying,
no, you're right.
That's it, break his leg, that's different. Now, you clearly have told a guy, go out and break his leg.
I was just
directive. I was just kidding.
Bill Polian hadn't actually told somebody to break Flutie's leg when he was in the press box yelling, break his bleeping leg.
Again, that's not apples.
Mrs. Flutie did not like that. She was yelling at him. No, I was only kidding to begin. It turned into a more serious discussion.
Well, because you're basically just you're calling like my integrity into question.
Well, I mean, we've been doing that for years, Paul.
But this is real life.
I know.
Like when I was 25 and I was acting stupid, that was just, you know, not really real. This is like, you know, my kids are on the field and I would make a snarky comment or something to start a fight, like, and be one of those guys like the guy from Reading who got killed in a hockey parent fight, like. You really think I'm capable of that?
Oh, no.
I think you guys...
I don't.
I think both of you do.
Oh, come on, Paul. You think I...
I think both of you do.
You think that I think that you can kill somebody?
No.
I think all
that
three of us are capable of getting into an altercation.
Yeah, right. And I don't think I am.
Of course. You're not.
I mean, I haven't been in a fight since, like, the third grade.
Nor have I.
Oh.
I don't think I'm capable
of that. All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit.
Yeah, and you have, too, been in a fight.
There was no fight because my brother dragged me out.
Well, I thought you told me at Foxborough Stadium, the drunk guy you guys were pounding.
I pushed him off me.
Oh, I thought I remember punches being thrown.
Well, there was a punch thrown, but...
So I haven't fought anybody. The guy who was passed out, I threw a couple punches and teabagged him.
I didn't teabag him.
I thought I remember it. Well, there was a
but
knife
again,
out. But
again, I still don't understand the, you know, why there's no difference between
there is,
you know, teenager, you know, slash early adulthood.
No, when you become
and
a parent,
fatherhood.
Things change.
I don't understand why there's not a switch that
you have
that can go there.
Be an example. You can't embarrass your family in front of everybody.
No, but you also have instincts that kick in as a protective.
Right.
And where is that level of instinct kicking in?
Right.
Well, that's what I said. If I felt like my kids were in danger, that would be something that.
Yeah, but you just said when your kid wasn't really in danger, when he's getting cut blocked.
No. I'm talking about there's a directive out there. I want you to cut block that kid to hurt him. Yeah, that's it. That's what I want. That's a different thing than my kid got cut blocked
in the
game.
You got to protect your kid.
If I'm watching a game and my kid gets cut blocked, I'm not going to react violently.
But you just said if the guy said, yeah, that's what we want,
break
his leg.
Now you're telling me you did it on purpose. That's a whole different
thing. Yes, he was instructed to cut block him. It happens
every
play.
No, 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 no. He was instructed
and on
to
some
try
of those
break
plays, you have like Brian Cushing where you tear your ACL or you have an injury. It can happen on any play.
That wouldn't – that. I mean, I would be upset, obviously, for my child if he got cut blocked and tore his ACL. But that's not the same thing as –
To me, you're getting to the whole bounty gate thing. Because they said, we'll pay you for big hits, now you're saying they were doing something above
I'm
and beyond just hitting.
I know, I'm uncontrollable. I mean,
I love this holier than thou, Paul.
It's not a holier than thou, it's the opposite. You guys think that I could really do this.
I think Fred could really do it, and I think Kevin could really do it.
I don't think you could. I don't think that you could do that.
I do.
I don't think you would.
I know myself. I have a switch, and at whatever button gets pushed, and I cross a line into whether it's.
I think if you truly thought that Jackson was being targeted, that you would react very aggressively.
Well,
that's different.
I'll say myself. Like, I've been at enough sporting events with my kid now where I know that I have to walk away.
Right.
When I'm in a crowd of people, and I just get the hell out of there.
Because I can't
listen to them. Because if I stay there, I'm going to say something.
Because you're going to get mad.
Right.
Right. And that's what I would do.
So I get the hell out, and I go watch down at the end of the fence.
Right. And a lot of people think that
I would go over and make a snarky comment.
No, I'm only kidding. Don't worry. I'm only kidding.
Listen, I'm glad it's funny to everybody.
I just said I'm only kidding.
But you're not really only kidding. You know that I'm upset about it, so you're just trying to pretend that you really don't think it.
And that voice you say it in doesn't help the situation.
Yeah, the condescending tone doesn't help either.
Okay,
it's kind of like Commissioner Goodell.
Issue.
Did you hear Goodell? I mean, Fujita about Goodell? And I didn't appreciate his condescending tone.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. He can be pretty condescending.
Let's get back to some emails.
Sorry about that.
Wow. That was,
that really escalated.
Radio gold? Or I don't know. Silver? Maybe bronze?
Yeah, I'll have to cut that up.
Just so you know.
We'll have to make that a great moment.
I'd rather you not, because it's not anything that I'm going to look back on fondly.
TG and NJ writes, and guys, watch the game again last night in the shortcuts. What the offense did was amazing. They say it's hard on the opposing defenses, but isn't it hard on the offense? Isn't it hard for them to keep that pace as well? Could it be detrimental if a winded offensive player makes a mistake due to exhaustion, a drop pass, a fumble, insert Ridley comment here? Do you guys see this as the next trend in the NFL? They say it's a copycat league. Remember when Miami unleashed the Wildcat, then everybody was scrambling for an option player. Are we going to see other teams try to employ the hurry-up offense now? I assume our defense would be suspect against such an offense. And hey, Andy, love what you bring to the show, but geez, lay off the roids, will you? Fred started to read my email yesterday, and you jumped all over him before he could get the first sentence out.
Shut up.
I lift things up and put them down.
I don't think the hurry-up offense is anything new, by the way. I know that's probably not.
No, it isn't. It goes
Patriots
in phases.
Fans wanted to. I think almost every team runs the hurry-up offense at some time. I think the Patriots ran it a little faster on Sunday than they have in the past. Green Bay runs it similarly fast, number one. I do think there's some truth, though, to what the emailer said about the offense. I think that might have had contributed to the drop in productivity in the second half. I think that they got a little tired, and Andy made the point during the game that maybe that's why, there was some issues injury-wise with Mankins and Vollmer, but maybe, the fatigue level was kind of why they took him out of the game with the score as opposed to, anything else. So I think there's a fine balance that you have to weigh there. But you can't – listen, they had one scoring drive in the second half. You know, they had a turnover. They had a 14-yard drive for another one, but they got nothing in the fourth quarter. They punted. They turned it over on downs. They fumbled. The offense wasn't as good, and it's probably partially due to the fact that they ran so many plays themselves that they probably got a little bit tired,
right.
With the 90 plays that they
sure.
ran.
Sure. Eric's here. Hey, Eric.
Freddie.
What? What's so funny?
Your tones today are making me laugh.
Where was the tone?
It's a tonality issue.
I just said Eric's here.
He's like a dog.
Hey, Eric.
He hears frequencies that the rest of us don't.
You're unbelievable. Anyway, Eric's here with the practice report and Bill Belichick and all that stuff.
Four guys missing from practice today. The same three from last week, Edelman, Gregory, and Ho'omanawanui, and Tracy White, who left the Broncos game with a left foot injury. Was not out there. So good news, Logan Mankins and Sebastian Vollmer were out there with their respective injuries. Now, Vollmer added.
Did you say Hightower wasn't out there?
Was
out there.
I didn't even mention Hightower, but okay. He's.
He said there were only four that were.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go over it again. Edelman, Gregory, Ho'omanawa Nui, and Tracy White.
Okay.
Vollmer and Mankins out there.
Did you say Edelman was? I'm only kidding.
He's been in a mood today.
There was tone there. Yeah. But Mankins had the calf injury last week, and it looked like he was getting it taken care of at the end of the fourth quarter there. To me, it looked kind of like a maintenance type thing.
Ice.
Right. And Vollmer acquired a new injury, the knee injury, during the game. But the fact that he's out there practicing is very good news, especially with his history of missing time. But
although last year, remember we got, like, even though he had a back procedure in the offseason that we now know of, there was some question last year as to the back and the foot and what was keeping. He was listed so far along with back and foot.
Right.
That sometimes you never really know what guys are specifically
back,
dealing
foot,
with.
Right. Back of the foot.
Back of the foot.
I mean, I think we take it as a good sign that it wasn't a back injury that he left with.
Yes.
But,
well, that and the fact that he's still able to practice just
maybe
so few days later.
Right, but, you know, limited. Well, limited could mean three snaps.
Sure, but, you know, if it was really bad, he wouldn't be out there at all.
Good point. So it's just bad, not really bad.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think sometimes they put them out there on purpose so we see them, and then they immediately come in.
Could be.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
As long as it's reported accurately.
So if you stretch, you practiced.
You were limited.
Limited.
Now, if you say full participation and do that.
I'm sorry, that's BS.
The whole thing is, I couldn't agree more.
If you stretch, you did not practice. You stretched.
Right.
You have to at least do some drills for me to say you were limited.
Technically, though, you'll see that if you got audited, you know, you would see, okay, he didn't really participate in any team drills.
No, I know, but I think if you just stretch and then come back in after, there's been reports that when the media leaves, you know, this player came off the field. He didn't practice. He wasn't limited. He did not practice. He stretched.
Well, it's like the day.
Because the stretching is no different than what he would do if he was with the training staff.
But it's like the day that ESPN Boston reported that Brady was limited, that Brady left.
Right.
He was reported as limited.
That's my
point. They reported that Brady left right after.
That's
they
BS.
Did. No, I'm saying it happens.
It's a stupid rule.
I agree with you. The whole thing is BS to me. But
at least if you're going to have it, try to have it make some semblance of sense.
I just think there's no way.
Some semblance of sense.
I don't think there's any
think
way you can do it short of having permanent monitors in every city. So
I'll
they're watching all your practice.
That's a good gig. I'll just sit out there and watch practice. I'm sure I'd be really liked. Even more than I'm liked now.
You know what I mean? I think you would need someone full-time.
What about the honor
to
code? Works
practice
for BYU.
Doesn't work in the NFL.
Black jerseys, any guesses?
I am going to go with Ryan Mallett.
Yes, that's one.
Bing!
You saw it in his locker, didn't you?
No, I didn't, actually.
Well,
spent
it was a good guess,
the entire locker
then
room interviewing Zoltan Mesko.
If he can't simulate Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6", lead-footed
quarterback. Yeah, can't run.
Oh, wow, stiff neck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There were five total.
Southern drawl.
That was one.
What else did we do well? Well, I'm waiting.
Yes.
I am going to go with Jake Beckett.
No, that's a good guess, though.
My other guy.
You're in the
Justin
you're in,
Francis.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's healthy again. Yeah, did he get the belt back?
I think he had the belt in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
You're a dancer.
Right.
Ooh, I'm two for how many?
You're two. Five total.
Five total.
You're two for two.
Going to go with.
Oh, let me go.
All right, just tell me. Paul's getting pissy, and when he gets pissy, he starts fights.
Okay,
and he punches
cold
you.
Daniel
he
Fells.
Makes snarky comments.
Daniel Fells, Trev Scott, and practice squatter Jimmy Devlin. Sounds like he should be like a reporter for like an old time news site. Jimmy Devlin.
Now was he? wonder what he was doing.
Playing fullback.
My Pony League high school coach. I mean, my Pony League coach.
Pony League.
How was Bill Belichick?
I did not go to Bill Belichick.
Whoa.
I actually was dealing with iPhone-related issues, and I missed it.
Couldn't do that after?
Well, no. I kind of needed it for work. So I was my actual one blew up
fight
yesterday.
Fight for Fred with an employee today.
I didn't make it up there. Apologize.
Wow. It was that important to fix the phone.
I thought so, yeah.
I don't think Fred thought so.
I guess not.
Well, I just think it could have waited.
All right. Sorry.
Fire him.
I was told there was nothing of consequence at the Bill Belichick press conference.
Well,
so
how
no one's surprised.
Until you went?
Well, I asked, and people said no, nothing.
So
people who went, Paoletti.
People knew what was going to happen before they went.
No. Well, I asked afterwards.
I don't know who
practice.
Said that. Yeah. But just by reading the tweets, I thought there were a couple of comments that he made that were fairly interesting. He said that Seattle doesn't swap personnel a lot, which, you know, given what happened last week in terms of the hurry up and all that stuff. If Seattle doesn't make a lot of substitutions on defense.
That's BS, because Pete just said that Irvin only played 20 snaps last
week. Well, Irvin is one. Red Bryant comes out and passing downs, or Irvin comes in.
That's kind of a big deal right there.
But if that's not if that's the extent of this substitution, perhaps you're not getting as much out of the whole small front, big front thing that
changes the size
the Patriots have been running.
Red Bryant's big, Irvin's small.
So you think Bill Belichick is full of poop?
Occasionally, yes.
Bruce Irvin, safety. Can make him a safety.
Well, their safety might actually be bigger than him.
Cam Chancellor is pretty big.
He's a big one.
Stripper says that castor oil is a stimulant and lubricating laxative. It's not a preferred treatment because it can produce painful cramps, fecal incontinence, and explosive diarrhea. Its action can go on for hours, sometimes unpredictably and powerfully, causing
and he eats a lot. And
who the hell has been spiking my food with castor oil?
Causing an involuntary bowel movements at inconvenient locations and during sleep.
Oh, so. I've never had that happen.
It's a new definition for wet dream, I guess, huh?
Oh.
Oh.
Imagine that.
Tianyi in Vancouver says, I'm trying to get some tickets for the game this weekend. It'll be my first NFL game. Can you provide some sage advice on how to best go about it? Hopefully I'll see you at the gathering on Saturday night.
Call Fred.
No, I would contact it.
Ticket up.
The Yahoo group. They might have some extra tickets.
Maybe Barry Incion can help
Yeah,
you.
Barry.
Chris Gokong.
Or Chris Porter.
Porter.
They might have extra tickets.
He'll get it to you in a blink of an eye.
So.
I sense some tonality in that.
No.
What's the matter?
Who are you picking on now?
Nobody. I don't know what Paul's laughing about over there.
Mark writes in, hey, guys, and Mrs. Draft, just wanted to share a dream I had the
other
day.
That's you, Eric. Yes, I know.
I was in my local pub, no Andy, not the cock and balls, and for some reason, PFW in Progress was
Bunghole?
Being played out to the whole pub. Andy was discussing
Shut
his
up.
Love
oh,
for
the dream.
Oh.
Oh, like, yeah, we're really that big over there. Look at that.
Andy was discussing his love for number 74, Kyle Love, when suddenly he turns around and says, Paul understands his viewpoint because he is fat, too.
I could see that happening.
Paul responds with, that's just poor to me. And Fred just started giggling. Andy just interrupts and says, I don't know what you are laughing at, fat boy. The guy behind the bar turns around and goes, is Andy always as juvenile as this? To which I responded, no, this is him being mature. He usually talks about beavers and boobies. You guys need to stay out of my dreams. It's scaring me. Now on to a pick'em game. If you could only have one of the following, who would you have? Ready?
Yes.
Chung or Sanders?
Sanders.
Chung, I think Chung.
Chung.
Yeah.
You go with the myth, I'll go with reality.
Vollmer or Mankins?
Mankins.
Oh, Mankins.
Mayo or Wilfork?
Wilfork.
Wilfork?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a tough one.
I'll go with Wilfork.
At this point, what does that mean?
Love or Spikes?
Spikes if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Arrington or Dennard?
Dennard, I think.
Arrington.
Right
the
now,
potential.
I got to say Arrington today. Yeah. But that could change in about 8 weeks.
Edelman or Woodhead?
Edelman.
Edelman, yeah.
He's always hurt, though.
Not when you don't force him to play offense. When you just let him be a good
punt
returner,
he can
he's a good
do a lot
returner.
Of things.
That's
he can make some plays.
For me.
Yeah.
I'll go Edelman.
Good open field tackler.
Yeah.
Because of the punt returning. But that's
Collins
the
or LePan?
LePan. That's the easiest one of the bunch.
What the hell is this? Poor Kevin. Poor Kevin. All right. Robin writes in
Alaska.
Yeah. He says, Paul is echoing my Mr. Miyagi. He thinks Paul's right. Andy is dumb. Andy is preaching the Cobra Kai. Sweep the leg, but Sensei, I can beat this guy. Sweep
Karate Kid
the leg.
References.
Oh, I know, but what does it mean in regards to me?
If a parent confirms they are teaching their child to chop block, to break that leg by yelling, woohoo, good job, break the leg, as Paul detailed and Andy argued, then isn't that isn't an accident. It's not just an injury that happens. It's villainous, and that parent is due a crane kick to the face.
We didn't say anybody was necessarily injured,
right,
first of all.
We're not going to relitigate that.
That's... relitigate.
Was this a big argument that you guys had?
Well, Paul felt he was upset.
You were, huh?
I'm an ogre. There's a chance that
you
I
You called
could,
him an ogre?
There's a,
I cha- never
there's
him
a chance
anything.
That I could commit a crime watching my kids play sports, basically.
I never said
these
that.
Two say.
I never said that.
I said it.
Never
it started
said
off kind of funny and
yeah, then
didn't
it,
really,
really
like where it went.
No, really? Yeah.
It, Paul didn't like it. That's okay.
Oh. Okay.
Paul got sensitive and Fred started to push his buttons with sarcasm.
No, I didn't.
As he is wont to do?
No, Paul, you're right. You wouldn't. That's what he kept
As
saying.
As he is wont to do.
No.
Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. He's just,
he's
yeah,
really
you're, still,
upset.
You're still upset about it, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't very flattering for me.
Even though I said I think we're all capable of the exact same thing, Paul thinks it was somehow a shot at him.
Well, I just think that the specific example that you used, I think we're all capable of. But I think that you guys don't think it would take the specific example you used to get me to that point.
I don't think it would take that necessarily for me. I think we all have switches and buttons that we don't know when they're going to be clicked.
And Paul is Northeastern. Let's see. Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania says, ask Andy if AC/DC was loud when they played there a few years ago. AC/DC, I didn't go to that concert.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Fred was at the Police concert.
Well, the concerts bring in their own sound system, so they can be as loud as they want to be. That's not a fair...
I agree.
You know?
No, and it would just change how they'd have to set it up, I'm assuming, for like Seattle, where if the sound is going to reverberate, you got to... You know, they have that massive board that I still believe no one knows what all the 8 million switches do. I think you'd have to turn some of those in Seattle as compared to Foxborough.
Okay.
Sure as hell no, he doesn't know how to use all those switches. I'm pointing at the monkey right now.
Neil from Canada says, I'd like to weigh in on the fourth down gambling. To me, with being up three possessions, the fourth and five call the other day was pretty inconsequential, but I like the call nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, the worst that should happen is you don't make it and you have to give up the ball on the 37-yard line versus the 10-yard line. If the Broncos are getting three scores at that point, they are beating the hell out of your defense in the 30 yards is the least of Peyton's obstacles. A huge loss on that play isn't very likely to happen, although it did. You wouldn't count on the punter to shank a 10-yard punt. I like having a coach that has the stones to go for it. I support the fourth and two call. Scoring on our defense was an absolute certainty. Instead of laying down and punting to the inevitable like some Jag coach who was afraid of losing his job, he did something about it. It gave us the best chance of winning. What makes me ask, why do teams ever kick the ball away when they need a score with 2 to 2.5 minutes left in the game instead of onsiding it? They need a three and out from their defense no matter what. If you can stop them from their 20, you can stop them from your 45.
It's a lot easier to stop them at their 20 than the 45.
Even though I found
you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Even though I found the email yesterday hilarious, it was still pretty mean. I don't feel bad, Captain. Your opinion is not worthless. Please chime in if you feel so inclined.
Who are we talking,
talking about? Email yesterday?
I don't know.
P.S. If the rest of the email is going to get ignored and Paul is going to be arguing whether scoring on our defense was a certainty, can we just pretend I said very likely?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
The fourth and two.
Why are we going to argue fourth and two?
I don't.
It was like 5 years ago.
I feel like I should be egging something on here
yeah,
between Paul and the emailer, but I'm not sure what exactly.
I really don't see the need to go. I mean,
yeah, emailer, take him on, Paul.
I like going for it on fourth and two. I said that yesterday. I say it today. I like going for fourth downs. I don't like.
Were you guys
the
arguing
ball.
That in fourth and two, they Bill did it because he was afraid of what Manning was going to
yes.
do, and that and then in the fourth and five or
to
whatever it was, he wasn't afraid of what Manning could do. Because
no,
that's what I heard somebody saying the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Well, to my knowledge, no one brought up fourth and two until that email.
Right.
I don't remember talking about fourth and two ever.
Fred did at the Kevin Falk press conference.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Brett?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Embarrassing homerism moment of the week.
It was the best question there. Everybody laughed. Even Stacey James said that was a good question.
What did you ask?
Of course
exactly?
he did. That's your barometer now,
no,
the PR director?
He said it needed a little levity. He said it was just so dour.
And you said what?
Kevin,
I said, Kevin, now that you're retired, you can talk about the refs.
Mike Reese thought it was a
the fourth
fantastic
and two
calls,
a bad
ceremony.
Spot, right? He's like, hell yeah.
Mike Reese described it as being a tremendous
and
I was
like a plant question?
Fred, can we leave now or you have more Homer softballs to lob up?
I know, I'm done.
Yeah, just because something has tears doesn't mean it's bad.
It was dour.
It was authentic. Right? I mean,
sure.
The guy is closing a long career that he didn't want to close. He brought up his family, his mother.
Were there as many people there for his as for Light's?
I don't know, similar, I think. I don't know exactly. I get a seat because I arrived earlier this time, so it, you know, kind of swayed my viewpoint. But there was a nice little crowd. There was a good attendance of coaches and players there, yep. Media. It was a nice setting, and I thought Kevin did a pretty good job, you know, being authentic. And
did he give you one of these, Paul?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
I don't know.
Did he give you one of these?
You know, I'm the only one that covers
Brent
this.
Brent writes
he skips
in,
these. You skip Belichick.
Hey, guys, and Eric, first, great couple of weeks of shows. Really good couple questions. Any update on Darren the Intern's football stats this year?
Yeah, it's not good.
Really?
He started out great.
He had a great opener.
And the team
they've lost two in a row.
They've
he
tanked
really
a
did. I think he had one catch last week. It just wasn't a good effort. They turned the ball. Amarski had, I think,
I'm blaming
three
it on Amarski.
Amarski's not
Amarski's
getting
bringing
the ball.
Him down.
But they got Tufts on the schedule in 2 weeks, so they're due for an uptick.
Yeah, but the Gagliardi Award doesn't look like it's in
his
future.
Oh, no, he's
now.
Well off his 1,000-yard
pace. He had a great
pace.
First game.
Eight catches,
he
92
was low on
yards,
the catches
something.
In the second game, but
two
big
touchdowns.
Plays.
Yeah.
Right.
He was like three or four catches for like 80 yards in the second game.
Yeah.
This past week they got
any
blown
touchdowns?
Out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like three touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's having a good year, but we're just looking for a spec.
I wanted
for,
a 1,000-yard,
right.
Maybe this guy gets some like national attention year.
Right.
I mean, that ship is safe.
Why has
plus
no one asked,
one and two.
Why has no one asked Fred if he has watched the Hulk Hogan tape to see his junk?
Have you seen Hulk's Hogan yet?
Just so you know, we've asked him that off air.
And I don't think you actually can. I keep... Everywhere I see, people say there's a 30-minute video, but the only thing that's been leaked is like a minute or something. And I actually saw Hogan on Piers Morgan last night talking about
Did he know it was being taped?
No.
So she set him up? She set him up?
Somebody set him up. TMZ is reporting, and Hogan actually made a joke like, you know, TMZ has kind of become the fact finder in this country now, and you have to kind of believe them. They're right a lot. That his best friend is the one, you know, he was banging the guy's wife. And
the guy knew about it and was trying to.
Yeah.
All right, John Rook's here for the playbook. Hey, John.
I want to hear more about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, you can see it, I guess.
Yeah.
I
Google
know.
It.
It's online.
Wow. Plus, if you do it here, you won't get in trouble. Yeah. Especially on the EEI computer you're on.
Yeah. John's up next with the playbook. And then at 4 o'clock, Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts. Do you do a crossover with Kerry?
Yes, usually.
Yeah.
Yes, usually.
Okay.
Is it exciting?
He always has a couple of good teases to talk about, you know, some sort of hidden between the numbers type of thing that
right.
kind of serves as a predictor, perhaps, for, you know, future games. So.
Some of the most commented articles on Patriots.com have been his because he kind of lays it out factually about this defense lately. And people, you know, open some eyes for some people.
And what are the facts?
I don't know. I forget. But a lot of people comment.
So I should probably read it.
You should probably read
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Take a gander.
All right, John, have a good show.
Yes, sir.
We will see you tomorrow, Thursday, with our picks and all that. And, of course, Cold Hard Football Facts at 4. See you later.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.